Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
It's getting real thick, y'all. We a quarter of the way into the NFL, training camp in the NBA, MLB playoffs is on deck.
For the NBA, we got exhibition games on right now.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
You know, having an interesting college football weekend.
Oh, man.
It was a great weekend for games and
sports and everything, man. Yeah. And woo, it's been great.
A lot popping off, y'all.
Loving it.
So we get into it. Y'all want to hit us up, please do. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @BrothersLayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. Hit us up. We'll read it on the show.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, and concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know, and we will definitely get back at you.
That's what's up. So we actually got two emails this week.
For sure. You
know, shout out to y'all who've been hitting us up.
Thank you.
First one is from Teddy D from the Why Not Podcast.
Teddy D. What's going on, man?
Hit us up again.
Yeah.
Greetings from Louisville.
That's right.
What's up, fellas? This show helped me make it through my work day. Much appreciated.
Right on.
Man, I know this point has been beaten into the ground, but somebody in the NFL office saw that tape. To me, that's an obvious point, so I'll leave it at that. That being said, Raj, he gets no respect from me. Isn't about to lose his job. While there are lots of parts to this story, to me, it simply comes down to money. The owners hire Raj to make them as much money as he possibly can, and he has. No league-wide sponsors have pulled their support, and last I checked, the NFL's ratings are the best they've been in years. The owners have to act like they care for PR reasons, but they're not firing him. Man, I can't wait until the NBA season starts. I feel you.
Yes, sir.
I've gone back to listen to enough of your shows to know that you guys give really great insight into just about each team before the season starts, so I'm looking forward to that. All right.
All right.
Selfish question, if you don't mind. Are you guys into college basketball as well? I'm a U of L fan, and this year we are looking nice. Also, did you guys see the intro to the Saturday Night Live? The Ray Lewis impression was hilarious. I'll leave a link below. Keep up the great work, Teddy D, the Why Not Podcast.
Hey, appreciate that, Teddy D. And you know what? I had a chance to listen to your podcast that you put out, and, you know, sounds pretty good, man. You know, it was a nice listen for me, you know, nice change of pace, and, you know, hope you continue doing your thing, man. You got a good potential there.
Yeah, you do, man. Yeah, let's do it. It was good. Shout out to JL from the Valentine Podcast.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And to the homie Aaron B from the Black Astronauts, man. What's going on?
What's that?
We are into college basketball, not as much as the pros.
Yeah, we're not like fanatics when it comes to the college basketball. We get into it a lot towards, you know, March Madness and all that stuff. But I ain't going to lie. I do keep up with it throughout the season because it all intertwines, you know. It's basically one and done now, so I kind of got to pay attention because I need to know what prospects are coming into the NBA because most of them are leaving after 1 year anyway.
Basically.
So, you know, I'm glad you're sticking with your team, man, but I hate the one and done. I hate that. It waters down the sport of college basketball. I honestly used to watch college basketball, like, regularly. Mm-hmm. Now it's gotten so watered down and everybody's leaving. There's nobody for me to look forward to watching. So that's really the only reason I don't really watch that much.
You just look forward to the new crop of players.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Never like, oh, this dude was ball. I'm going to wait to see him next year. Oh,
exactly.
He's gone.
So, you know, good luck to Louisville, though. Rick Pitino, I mean, what? Hey, Rick Pitino and my boy from UK.
Colin Perry.
Those two are like the kings of Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's like you got your North, South. They're the kings of their domains. Don't step into my area.
Yeah, they both won championships, both getting their money.
Lexington and Louisville, hey, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when they play, I'm watching that game.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Definitely.
As far as with the NFL point, yeah, we know it's all about that paper.
Dude, and we know somebody saw that tape. I know somebody in the league saw the tape, but as I've been saying, if you ain't got no evidence, if I'm accused of a crime and there is no hardcore evidence, I don't know about you, sir, I am not incriminating myself. Unless you can prove it, I am going to say I didn't do it. So that is the stance Roger Goodell is taking, as a stance most people would take if you can't prove anything. Your word against sources.
Yeah.
You know, until somebody comes out the closet and says, hey, here I am. I am the person who handed in the tape. We got nothing. So, unfortunately, it's a bunch of BS. Of course, it's all about the money, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. As my wife has mentioned before, they are a nonprofit league.
Quote, unquote,
right,
yes.
They're a nonprofit
organization.
But making a gang of profit.
Oh, yeah. Without question.
So, yeah, unless the money becomes an issue.
Unless sponsors start leaving.
Yeah. Yes. Now, 3-4 years down the line, you still having issues. Yeah, then I can see that. But as of this moment, nah, they good. They just gave him a nice fat-ass raise. So unless he going to cut into that, you know, he done.
And as far as your NBA point, you actually caught us at a great time because we'll be getting into our previews today.
Yep, a little bit later. So getting ready for the season.
Stay tuned.
Shout out to Teddy D.
Yes, sir.
And we got one more for sports talk. What up? Kojak again. What's going on, Kojak?
What's going on, man?
If you see my Twitter bio, then you heard this before. Kansas City, stand up. The Royals are winning and in extra innings. Their strategy is just to get past the ninth inning. ALCS is their next destination. The Patriots' loss was for the Broncos. We have just claimed the number one seed again. Tom Brady has just lost his elite status. The nation needs to know that the Chiefs do have 4 top 10 players at their position. Eric Berry at safety, Haleem Houston, linebacker, and Jamal, I can break your ankles and mine in one juke, Charles, a running back. I will say one thing about the NBA. Cleveland will represent the East in the finals.
No, they won't.
They only win if the Thunder make it. Spurs get there, it might be another Cavaliers sweep. Yep. Kyrie can't hold Parker.
No.
Spurs are LeBron's personal real estate agent.
Oh, Lord.
What up, Kojak?
Thank you
for that, man.
There you go, Chris.
Giving me love.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I hit a man. I was like, yeah, I know Jonathan's probably not going to agree with you on that.
Nah, I'm not going to go that far, but we'll get into that. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, I got a little something for you, Royals, but I'll save that for a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. But you know he loving that.
Oh, I love that Bronco statement. Oh, yeah. Keep it coming because we going to get into them no-good-looking Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The not-so-golden boy named Tom Brady. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, thank you to Teddy D and the Kojak Delta.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Hitting us up, man. We love talking sports with everybody.
Yeah.
And it seems like now is the time when joints is popping off.
Yeah, and anybody out there, you got any emails, you know, voicemails you want to leave, want to leave comments on iTunes, on Stitcher, whatever you want to do, let us know. We'll definitely get back at you. Like I said on the last episode, you hit us up on Twitter, direct message, whatever, shoot us a tweet. We'll hit you back. It ain't like we too good to talk to y'all. We definitely are not.
No, we like talking sports.
Exactly.
So let's jump into this NFL.
Let's go.
Well, we are a quarter in the way. Since we was talking about them Patriots, Monday night, embarrassment.
That was beyond an embarrassment. That was an ass kicking. That was a butt kicking. And I just got to say for the record. I really, really hate that First Take sugarcoats everything about the damn Patriots. Makes excuses, this and that. If any other team looked like the Patriots did, they would get crapped on.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate that about that damn show. But
amongst other things.
Exactly. In our world, absolute shellacking. The Patriots should be embarrassed of themselves for the way they performed. Granted, I know people were like, oh, the Chiefs fans broke the barometer record and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, look. Yes, they broke it on this Monday night. Kansas City has been a hard place to play for years and years and years. It ain't like it just became hard on Monday night. It's been a hard stadium to win in. So the fact that they struggled there is not really a surprise. But the shellacking they took was. And Tom Brady overthrowing, underthrowing, not looking comfortable. Look, blame is not going to – I'm not throwing blame strictly on Tom Brady.
No, this is a team-wide failure. This is
every – the whole organization is at fault right now. Everybody. All from the top down. Because I told Chris, too. I'm like – it's like we always say, winning covers all. Mm-hmm. When you start losing, that's when you start nitpicking. When you nitpick at the Patriots, their roster, honestly, is just not good. It's not that good. Their draft picks lately have not panned out.
Yeah.
A la Aaron Dobson, who was a second-round pick last year. He ain't done nothing. You know, they spent a third-round pick on Ryan Mallett, who they just traded to the freaking Texans. They spent a lot of draft picks on stuff that haven't really panned out. Dante Hightower ain't really panned out. Jerod Mayo, yeah, he's okay. They haven't spent a lot of their picks in their defensive backfield. They haven't really used a lot of high picks to shore up their offensive line. They've used a lot of undrafted guys and late-round guys. It's almost like they try to get guys who almost it's almost like you count them out, but we're not going to count them out. We're going to play and show you how good they are and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, when you start just compiling those type of players, the lack of talent eventually is going to show itself. And that honestly is what has shown. They have a lack of talent right now. When Tom Brady is a rhythm guy. His offensive line's in shambles. Yes, they shouldn't have traded Logan Mankins, but he is not the sole reason the offensive line sucks.
No.
So I can't just blame him being traded. So, I mean, was he the leader of the O-line? Yes. Does that mean the whole thing should have fallen apart like this? No. Not by any means. Not when you picked Nate Solder in the first round to be your blindside protector and all this stuff. So they've dropped the ball on a lot of their draft picks. A lot of free agents don't want to sign there. Because Belichick is a hard coach to play for.
They don't pay. They basically, I was thinking when you were saying it's like, how much great talent can we get on the cheap? You know, they don't want to pay guys.
They always trading out of the first round.
Yeah.
You see it every year.
Even when it was like, well, pay with Walker. We don't really want to.
He's Tom Brady's go-to guy and best friend, but nah, kick rocks.
Yeah. Hakeem Talib, nah, we don't want to pay him. We will bring in name guys who are tail end of their career. You know,
we'll pay Darrelle Revis, though.
Right. For 1 year, though.
For 1 year.
And this, you know, the defense that was so hyped up has not shown up,
Swiss
really.
Whole defense.
It looked terrible.
And in Tom Brady's defense, Tom Brady has taken pay cuts for them to try to sign guys.
He took his last pay cut, and everybody was like, oh, and you lose Wes Welker.
And you replace him with brittle-ass Danny Amendola, who clearly isn't on the same page as Tom Brady.
Right.
Tom Brady has nobody to throw to but Edelman.
Yep.
That's it.
He's got Gronk, but Gronk can't stay hurt.
Injury prone. Yeah. And honestly, all of this really started when they lost when Aaron Hernandez's ass got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is when it started. Because last year, luckily, they were able to make it work. Everybody talked about how little weapons Tom Brady had, but yet and still, a lot of people picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year. Even though we knew last year they had a lack of weapons, and they basically brought the same team in this year.
Yeah.
Stupid y'all. I picked them to win the AFC East out of default.
Yeah.
Just because I thought the division was so weak. And they still might. But talent-wise, they're not the juggernaut they used to be. Their running game is suspect. Yeah. Their defense is Swiss cheese. Tom Brady has no time to throw the ball, so he can't get in rhythm. So he looks probably worse than he actually is, which is a lot of people. He's washed up. I'm like, well, honestly, Tom Brady's 37 years old. And granted, yes, he is an elite quarterback. He is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yes.
But we have to understand, and there comes a point in time with every great player, he's on the fucking decline. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't suck. He's not fully diminished. But we are watching his skills diminish before our eyes. And the difference between he and Peyton Manning, when everybody's like, Peyton Manning got the arm. The Broncos schemed and designed an offense to fit Peyton Manning's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, he's not a deep ball thrower. You do not see them throw a lot of deep balls. They throw a lot of short intermediate passes.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady's throwing deep passes all the time and stuff. And he has no rhythm. He has no weapons. Like, Randy Moss is the last big name receiver they got.
Yeah, how long was he there for? Like a year?
Like a year. Yeah, and then they traded him. Their organization does some of the most boneheaded things, and It's finally caught up with him. It is finally caught up with him after all these years.
They made the Super Bowls. And at this point, we're almost giving them love for what they used to do.
Exactly.
Like, well, they won 3 Super Bowls. You're like, when was that?
Yeah, how many years ago was that?
Yeah, that's been a minute.
We got to get past that. We got to get past that. And, I mean,
yeah, Tom Brady can't, you know, 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, you gave him subpar talent. He was usually able to make it pretty good. Now he can't. You know, when he didn't have anybody – you know, back then, people would be like, well, when he won them Super Bowls, he didn't have anybody. But the defense was sick, and his offensive line was, like, one of the best.
Yes.
If you give Tom Brady hella time, he will pick you apart.
And
but his receivers are, like
suspect.
You said, and with Peyton Manning, I mean, you know, you could say they had, well, they had dudes there before Peyton Manning. Well, so you mad at them for drafting
The organization did a good job of drafting personnel. And John Elway and has always said – they build through the draft. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So, and you can see the difference. I'm not trying to pump up the Broncos, but you can see they went all in for Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending money on offense. We're getting you Wes Welker. We're getting you DeMarcus Ware, Aqib Talib. We're spending all this money to get a chip for you.
We got to the Super Bowl. Our defense has
what's suspect.
Bowl, so let's up the
defense. Let's up the defense.
And because we know
what
they got
the Patriots
him.
Do? We'll get you Danny Amendola, who's injury prone.
Wes Welker left. Wes Welker left. Wes Welker didn't just...
Anybody in the NFL will tell you, Danny Amendola is not Wes Welker.
Nope.
It's not even close. So get out of here with that comparison. So they screwed Tom Brady. I feel bad for Tom Brady just because I'm like, they've given him no help.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't. Steven Ridley and all these... I'm like, if you look at their squad, a lot of these guys are not first-round picks. They're not second-round picks. A lot of these guys are probably late-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And undrafted free agents. I allow your Kimbrough Tompkins who got waived.
Yeah.
Now you just... So let me get this straight. Tom Brady got nobody to throw the ball to and you waive a receiver that he trusted. Then waive Danny Amendola since he don't trust his ass. I mean, what?
You know what
I don't know.
Yeah, they have issues. You know, Tom Brady, you know, took it. You know, I know he didn't look happy when he got pulled. Which at that point I was like, you're getting your ass kicked. Just take him out. He's like, well, they never did that. Well, he's not 30... Two. He's not 29. He old. We're getting our ass kicked.
He's 37 years old.
Sit down.
Yep.
Okay? Like, what are you going to do, Tom Brady? You're going to miraculously bring us back, score 35? You're not.
Yeah.
Okay? We ain't done shit on offense. So, sit down.
Exactly.
It's over. Just sit down. Hey, fine. I'm throwing in the towel. We lost. Here. Sit down.
And it happens. Mm-hmm. And got to get – and honestly, credit to the Chiefs, man. The Chiefs played a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. They looked really good. Andy Reid outcoached them.
Yeah.
And, Niall Davis looks like a very good compliment to Jamaal Charles. So,
yeah, we got him 1,607 yards. Jamaal Charles, a plus that night on for your fantasy team with 3 touchdowns.
Without question. And if you picked up Travis Kelce and you plugged him in, good job for you. They pumped it. They were ranting and raving about this kid coming out of Cincinnati. And let me tell you, he looks like the real deal Holyfield.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks like to be that next athletic tight end to come out. A lot of people compare him to Gronk. But, you know, hey, I mean, 8 catches, 93 yards and a TD. He is showing he got some skills. Hey, there was a Dwayne Bowe sighting.
I know.
Catches, 81 yards. No TDs, though, but that's okay.
Right.
But I was like, wow, he actually showed up. So
yeah, he got involved.
But, I mean, of course, we all know it was Jamaal Charles all day, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Get a man a rock and just let him go about his business.
Hey, it was a big game on Monday night, and they beat a team that they would probably have to beat in order to make the playoffs. So good for the Chiefs. You know, Kansas City is bubbling right now.
And, Kojak, for your credit, I will say Kansas City might have the two best pass rushers, have the best pass rushing tandem in the league. Because Tom Ali and Justin Houston, them boys are sick.
Yeah.
Them boys are sick. So I got to give it to them. Is Kansas City going to beat us, though? I don't know about that, sir.
Yeah, but they pushed last year before.
But yeah, they're going to be in the mix.
Right.
They're going to be in the mix.
Yeah, they're trying to make sure they make up for that loss to Indiana Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. All right, another butt whooping that was kind of unexpected. The Cowboys just mollywopped.
Hey.
The Saints.
Look.
Sunday night.
Let me, wow. I got to give some respect to the Cowboys. I have been crapping on the Cowboys. I expected them to finish last in the division. I'm not going to change my my stance just yet. All right. Not just yet.
Good.
But yes, I mean, because I mean, look, we all knew their offense is explosive. That's not a secret. We all knew the weapons they had. We all knew if they ran the ball,
which they
are doing, they could be very dangerous. Well, damn it, they're running the ball. So I mean, but the defense has been much better than I think anybody in America anticipated. Everybody, I think, thought their defense was going to be one of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been one of the better defenses in the league so far. I got to give some props to Rob Marinelli. He's doing a good job as coordinator. Jason Garrett, whoever's calling plays, leave it alone.
Right.
Leave it alone. Now, they are going to have to ease up on DeMarco Murray because they're running his ass into the ground.
They are.
And he's injury prone to an extent. So you got to be careful. But they're doing a very good job managing Tony Romo and managing his mistakes. And he is making good decisions, finally. So this is honestly what they should have been doing. You have a dynamic running back. Tony Romo doesn't have to throw it 40 times.
No.
If he can throw it 25 to 30 times, but those are 25 to 30 quality throws he's throwing, you don't give 20 carries to DeMarco Murray. Simple. It's a simple formula.
Look at it. I mean,
and they have one of the better O-lines in the league.
Yeah, their O-line has improved. Whoever
leaps and bounds. Yeah,
whoever's telling Jerry Jones, the GM, to not do the Johnny Manziels and be like, we need offensive
Zach Martin.
Line help.
Smart move. Yeah,
get some offensive line help. And it has paid off.
Yes. Everybody. Now people are like, oh, they drafted Tyron Smith instead of J.J. Watt. Well, Tyron Smith has turned into one of the best left tackles in the league. I mean.
Yeah, you can't be like, well, J.J. Watt was like that. He'd be like the number one pick.
Thank you.
So stop being like, oh, well, who? How about every other team before the Cowboys who passed on J.J. Watt? And if you're going to go there.
And if we were going to redo the draft, Tyron Smith probably be number two or three to J.J. Watt's number one.
Yeah. I mean, it worked out for him. I mean, shit. It ain't like, what did J.J. Watt get Houston last year? The number one pick. Yeah. I mean,
hey, they've done a good job. As much as Jerry has been in the media and in the spotlight.
Yeah, give me time.
Whoever has been making a lot of the personnel decisions, whether it's Jerry himself or his son or whoever it is, they've done a solid job.
The guys who are giving him information are like,
their scouting department is doing a good job. They're doing a very good job.
Now, the Claiborne thing, that sounded like it was a Jerry Jones move.
They traded up all the way to get him, and that ain't pan out.
But, I mean, the O-line is great. DeMarco Murray, 24 for 149 yards, 2 touchdowns. You can't beat that.
Nope.
Tony Romo, 22 of 29, 262, 3 touchdowns, very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you want.
Exactly.
Terrence Williams had a solid game. Mm-hmm. You know, Des Bryant's going to be Des Bryant, caught a touchdown. But
Jason Witten is Jason Witten.
So their offense is like that. As for the Saints, you know, I mean,
the Saints is reminiscent of that defense from a few years ago that was ass.
Yeah. I mean,
because my gosh, they can't do anything.
The Saints are now 1-3. You know, they lost. Mark Ingram got hurt. Kyrie Robinson did all right, 8 for 87, but had a long 62 yard run that was most of that. Jimmy Graham just keeps producing for your fantasy team. So no matter what they're doing, you just like Jimmy Graham is just feeding, giving me like 20 points every damn week.
I know this wasn't the splashiest move or the biggest move of the offseason. I really think them trading Darren Sproles screwed their offense up. That really screwed them up.
It did.
He was almost like your go-to dude in tight situations. Like, you knew he was getting you a first down. He makes the big plays, and now you see he's doing it for freaking Philly.
Yeah, you know you got Jimmy Graham is going to give you. Marcus Colston is there some of the time, but having the guy out the backfield, because it's not like they got a stud running.
Yeah, like
back.
Brandon Cooks was supposed to be that guy, but he's a rookie. You can't put that much pressure on him and expect him to just be coming out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Ingram has never blown the doors off. You know, Pierre Thomas is older.
I mean, if you want to be technical, Darren Sproles was your best running back.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, and you got rid of them. So I'm not going to say that's the cause for them being this bad, but I think that's playing a big
role.
Don't
explain the defense. And now you got, is it Jarius?
Jarius Bird.
Jarius Bird out for the season.
Spent all that money on him.
Lateral meniscus.
Yes.
That just did not help. And, you know, this is, you know, luckily for them, you know, Carolina and Tampa Bay are so-so. And even Atlanta's not doing that great, which we're going to get to in a second. But, you know, this, I did not expect them to be 1-3 at this point. And that's not a
– I didn't either, but
– that's not good with a quarter into the season.
Yeah.
In this competitive NFC conference,
yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of that, hey, why don't we just go right to the damn Falcons?
Okay.
You were saying his name all throughout the season before the draft. Teddy Bridgewater, you need to pick him up. He's that dude. Hey, you beat the Falcons. 41 points on the Falcons.
I'm just saying. I love my boy Teddy B. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because, I mean, granted, he got hurt. He did get hurt. He got banged up. But I'm like, if you just watching the game, the kid is so poised in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He made smart decisions. He knew when he needed to run. It was honestly, it was very similar to kind of the way Russell Wilson kind of plays. It was very similar to that. And I was very impressed. I was very impressed. He ran the offense perfectly. And clearly, we saw a difference between he and Christian Ponder. And we'll get into that game later, but.
Yeah, Teddy Bridge
is the future.
Yeah,
so, there is no question.
He will be back for week
Browns.
For week five. That's
Browns. Should have picked Teddy B, like I told you, and you'd probably be, might be leading your division. I don't know. Just saying. I'm just saying. But to be fair, he did beat Atlanta, and their defense has been terrible.
Yeah, their defense hasn't been good. Getting nothing from the running game.
Yeesh.
Julio Jones is his thing.
Of course.
But for Minnesota, man, what's his name? Matt Asiata. Yeah, Matt Asiata, 20 for 78, got him 3 touchdowns. McLennan came out of nowhere, 18 for 135.
A lot of people have been ranting and raving about this kid. Mm-hmm. He's very athletic, and they think he could take over for Asiata in the future, in the near future.
Yeah, he might.
So, I mean, they've got a nice little thing going. I like the direction that Mike Zimmer is taking the team. You can see their defense is clearly improved. So, I mean, hey, sky's the limit for them. And we haven't heard anything about Adrian Peterson. Nothing at all. They haven't really mentioned him. They haven't spoken about him. Like I mentioned, it could possibly be the last. We could have already seen Adrian Peterson done with the Vikings.
It sounds like it is.
The way it's going, and honestly, they keep winning. The more they keep winning, the less likely it is he's going to come back. Because if we win it without you, we don't need you. And that's how the NFL is, honestly. And I hate to say it, but if we win it without you, clearly we don't need you.
Yeah, if it wasn't like a dark cloud around him and he was just hurt, you'd be like, oh, snap. And then when Adrian Peterson come back, we about to beast. But now it's like, well, nobody's talking about you.
Yep.
We're doing well.
Yep.
Maybe it's just time. And hey, I got Adrian Peterson on one of my teams. I'm like, just tell me he gone for the season because I want to drop him. But the way the NFL work, he might be like, all right, he getting 8 games, which means he'll be back for the last 3 games of the season. You're like, I can't. Let me just hold on to him.
That's why I just avoided him altogether.
And he was like that. Fan in the butt, but they've been doing it. Jarius Wright showed up 8 for 132 yards. They have some name dudes popping off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Teddy Bridgewater bringing something good for them. You know, the Falcons, just like the Saints, when they on the road, they're going to win, maybe not. When they at home, you feel real confident about them.
Yep.
When they on the road, you like,
they're probably going to lose.
Especially if you're like, damn, you lost to the Vikings. Like, all right. Falcons on the road. I don't know about that game. Hey, man, I saw that Bucks beat the Steelers with that late touchdown. I felt for Mike Tomlin.
I did, too.
Because I had that defense, too, and I was just like, what the hell? You letting the Bucks get up on you?
I know Mike Tomlin was like, what is going on with my squad? Because I don't know what's going on with Pittsburgh, man. I mean, they've had some injuries, but... I don't know what their issue is.
Yeah, that just stung, and it didn't make any sense.
Mike Glennon, more power to you, brother. He has taken Josh McCown's job.
Josh McCown's finished.
Josh McCown is dizzon.
I mean, unless Mike Glennon plays bad.
Yeah, unless Mike Glennon just stinks it up. Besides that, he is the guy.
Yeah, he playing well. Niners put it together, beating that undefeated Eagles 26-21.
Mm-hmm. Eagles were horrible in that game.
Yo.
No Sean offense.
McCoy.
No offense.
Wow. Hey. You have had a – you have had – you look like DeMarco Murray stat-wise lately. I mean, he – I mean, he was 10 carries for 17 yards. I'm like, what?
Yeah, is he hurt or something? There's something we don't know.
Yeah, that line seems to not be as strong as it was.
Their line's banged up, man. Their old line's just banged up. And a lot of people, they don't have the biggest offensive line.
Nope.
Because Chip Kelly moves so damn quick. You got guys who ain't that big. So, I mean, some of these guys are wearing down a little easier. Yeah. And
hey, Colin Kaepernick showed up, 17-30 touchdown.
He somewhat showed up.
7 for 58 rushing. But, hey, Frank Gore, what'd you say? He bitched, give me some carries.
Oh, he got
24 carries, 119 yards, and caught a 55-yard pass for a touchdown.
That was one of the worst passes, but Frank Gore just made it a great play. Because I was like, Colin Kaepernick – if Frank Gore had, like, botched that player or something, Colin Kaepernick, people would have been like, what are you doing? But because he scored, people were like, oh, what a play by – no, what a play by Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. What a play by Frank
he
Gore.
He stayed alive and made the pass.
But Frank Gore did Colin Kaepernick throwing from across the field. I'm like, what the heck are you doing?
Those are them plays that
– make you scratch your head.
On the 20% – where it turns out to be a big play, people are like, oh, snap, that was brilliant. Every other time, it's either...
it's a dumbass play. What are you doing?
Something happens, and you're like, you know you're not supposed to pass on the other side of the field.
They tell you that all the time. I'm like, you know, that was his physical ability showing out. But, I mean, you got to give a man credit. Yeah. They won the game. They pulled it out. He had two TDs. Nick Foles looked terrible.
Yeah, he did.
He looked bad. But, I mean, partly of that is his O-line. He ain't got none.
Yeah, I mean, they won their game, but this one was a big game, and they weren't. You know, that Niners defense looked like the Niners defense. Mm-hmm. Really showed up, got a lot of pressure, just doing the dang thing.
Finally.
That Vernon Davis loss, he's like, dude, you can't stay healthy. And this is why they didn't want to give you that
exactly.
Payday. Ain't that you can't play, you just can't stay healthy.
He can't put you on the field long enough. Excuse me.
So, you know, good for them. Shout out to KJ. Hey, your team.
They pulled it out, bro. And we got to talk about Steve Smith. Yeah, payback. Son. That is how you get payback on your team. You kill him on the field. Two TDs. Didn't even talk smack. That was unexpected for me. Yeah. I was like, he wasn't talking very much. Yeah. He was like, all right, I'm going to let my play do the talking.
At least for that day.
Exactly.
Yeah, he that day, what? 7 receptions, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, a lot of people tried to make them little comments about, well, that first one, it was just a tip. But I'm like, he focused.
Yeah.
He kept going. It took the ball. He was still in stride. And
we called that concentration.
And just took it to the house. Mollywopped them.
Destroyed the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton clearly is not healthy.
Nope. Lost another running back.
D'Angelo Williams got hurt again.
Yeah.
They have the worst. Weeks. They need to draft a new running back. Or get a new one, because D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, can't none of y'all ever stay healthy. They just need a guy who can stay healthy. Maybe you need to get a new strength and conditioning guy, maybe, because I don't know what it is then. Because they can't ever stay healthy.
But Steven has something to prove, and he proved it. You know, Baltimore's running back some kind of wish-wash here and there. Justin Forsett has been solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's starting to get, you know, something. I know Bernard Pierce is kind of in and out.
He got no carries, even though he was probable.
And I know for fantasy folk, I didn't really believe all the stuff about Steve Smith just being like that boo-boo. I might have drafted him earlier, but no. Damn, Torrey Smith has – what the hell? I figured, all right, at least if Steve Smith's getting all this love, you get some seconds. Like, you've just been like the third dude.
Mm-hmm.
Almost disappeared. You're like, damn. You're supposed to be the number one.
It's kind of similar to when they had Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
I just think there's a trust factor there with Steve Smith and Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco trusts Steve Smith to make the plays. We've seen Torrey Smith has had his fair share of drops in the past. And I don't know if Joe Flacco has the same trust as he has for Steve Smith. I mean, you know you throw Steve Smith the ball 9 times out of 10, it's getting caught. he's catching it, and he's probably going to make a big play with it.
Yeah, Steve Smith is a leader. I mean, he wears his part on his sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a little dude. Feel, and he just competes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard not to like a kind of guy like that.
So
now, he did feel like after the fact to kind of go off. And I was like, whoa.
He said it was personal.
Yeah. You know, basically, from his perspective, the owner was called him and was like, basically, you eroding, and we just getting rid of your ass.
Like.
He like, what? And then he said trying to play it off like it was some other reason why.
Yeah, like there was a pay cut or something. Yeah,
he didn't
want
to take a pay cut. You know, his attitude. He getting jealous. You're like, what the fuck? So he jealous of Cam Newton. He's like, nigga, I'm trying to help Cam Newton win. What you talking about? I'm jealous of Cam Newton.
So, I mean.
I'm giving you 13 years. I own all your damn receiving records. This is what you do. I
got to the Super Bowl with Jake DeLome.
He went in. I was like, wow. So.
Honestly, I believe him.
No, I do too.
I believe him. He ain't lied to me yet.
Yeah, and he feels like, I mean, come on. And he basically was like, what am I doing? I didn't do nothing like that. I ain't hit my wife.
Yep.
I ain't doing none of that.
He's had a lot of issues where he gets in cast faces and stuff like that. But yeah, when it comes to off field problems, he's pretty squeaky clean as they come.
Yeah, he didn't do like that. So I mean,
for all intents purposes, as from what I know, he's a pretty nice guy for the most part. It's just when you get on the field, he get crazy.
Yeah, he turned that hat on, be like, all right,
let's competitive do it. Nature comes out, you know. So. Cali love right there, Steve Smith.
Yeah, so, you know, I just hope for him, you got it out your system.
Yeah.
Said what you had to say.
Yeah.
Now, you can tell Carolina kick rocks. I'm all about the Baltimore Ravens. I ain't talking about y'all no more.
Yep.
So I hope it's that way.
And then lastly, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he was right about relax because he relaxed me. I was like, oh, well, you got it. You got it under control. He was basically perfect.
He just... Fucking
he destroyed Chicago. I mean, killed him single-handedly. Embarrassing. Eddie Lacy had a touchdown, but I mean, come on. 22 of 28, 302, 4 TDs, no picks. Lights out, game over, close the door, we done.
Yeah.
I mean, it was over early.
I mean, he just killed throwing fold. Randall Cobb, 7-4, 113, 2 touchdowns, who showed up. Like, okay. We was wondering, Randall Cobb, what you was going to do. And Jordy Nelson, 10-108, 2 touchdowns. I mean, it was like, yep.
He's back.
For some reason, the Bears, specifically Jay Cutler, cannot beat Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. And I know, Brandon Marshall was a little banged up.
Yep.
But, I mean, damn. Yo, Matt Forte showed the hell up. 20 carries, 122 yards, getting back to that running. But damn, Jay Cutler. 22-34, 256, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Martellus
Bennett went off for you if you had him. But you just like, here we go again. Mm-hmm. Here we go again. We can't. If you ain't beating the Packers, you probably not winning the division, bruh.
Nope.
And you at home. And you lost at home. So, like, fuck.
Yeah,
so now, in order to win the division, you might have to win in Green Bay. Good luck for that.
Yeah, because Chicago is too inconsistent. All of them are, honestly. Oh, before we head out, Geno Smith gave the fans the finger. What you think?
Hey, I mean, people trying to bring all crap. I was like, Michael Vick did the same thing.
Back you in know, his Atlanta days.
From what I've heard from other guys who said, and I kind of agree. You can't bring a high-profile quarterback like Michael Vick in and not play him when Geno Smith is struggling. Same thing with how they did with Mark Sanchez. Then you bring in Tim Tebow. Like, when you start sucking at quarterback, people are going to be like, hey, you brought in a named quarterback. Why did you bring this dude in if you weren't going to play him?
Nope.
I understand. I do. And if he doesn't play well, which – if you got a young quarterback, then just play his butt. And all you do is just have another young quarterback behind him. And just be like, all right, you play well. When you don't, I'm pulling you out. And I'm just going with this other dude. But you know at some point, if Geno Smith has his bad game, which he just did, we want Michael Vick. Michael Vick can probably do something.
And, I mean, it's unfortunate. New York fans are ruthless. I mean, they just are. So it's why you got to be very, you got to be mentally tough to play in New York. Because the fans, man, they can love you or they can hate you to death. So, I mean, he lost his composure. Very unfortunate. But, you know, I give him credit for coming out and just, you know, owning up and apologizing and saying, you know what, I made a mistake. I got caught up in the moment. You know, and it happens, dude. We're like we always say, we're all human. You know, somebody keep chastising you, blah, 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 blah. And there was probably one fan who was giving it to him more than most, who just kept going and going and going, and he just kind of was just like, man, fuck you. Yeah. And I'm sure after he said it, he was like, fuck.
Yeah, everybody's going to be like, oh, I seen you. Yeah. I seen you.
Got it on camera.
Yeah. Like, oh, like, you know, fuck. The NFL's smart. Right, because he's going to do it, and then he's going to go to the sideline, and somebody on the team is going to be like, bro, I saw that.
Yep.
So – you getting fined. Like, bro, you know you're getting fined for that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, fuck. And, hey, Lions pulled that one out. Good for the Lions.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into week 5, let's get into some week 5 news. D'Angelo Williams, like we said he's going to miss a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, already got a – I think surprising. Jonathan Seward's supposed to play, but feeling like he got to play.
Oh, whatever.
Coach LeRon Landry popped 4 games for PED use. Hey, people starting to wonder, bro. I mean –
And speaking of PEDs, the NFL will be starting HGH testing Monday.
Ooh.
So, guys better be ready. Hope you're detoxing.
Yeah. Gotta be careful. Jonathan Dwyer officially charged with felony and 8 misdemeanor counts for hitting his wife.
Low life.
Yeah, man.
Go to jail. Peace out. You are done in the NFL. I got no love or respect for you, dog. Sorry.
Yeah, good luck for you on that, but it ain't going to be looking good.
Nope.
Hey, the Bills got tired of E.J. Manuel. We tried. Kyle Orton, you're next.
That means E.J. Manuel, your time is done in Buffalo. They'll be drafting a new quarterback probably next year.
This is what, his second? Didn't they draft him last year?
Yes! This is what happened. This is what happens, though, now. This is why I'm like, just sit the damn quarterbacks and let them learn.
Because
I'm like, this is what happens. You throw dudes in the fire. They get banged up. You know, their confidence gets rattled. You bench them, their confidence is gone. Now you lost them forever. So not Geno Smith. E.J. Manuel, basically, he's useless at this point.
Yeah.
Unless you are starting him next year. I'm just going to give him the time now to sit and kind of learn and whatnot. But I almost feel like it's too late.
Yeah. I do, too.
So I'm like, Kyle Orton, serviceable.
Now, you know, he can still produce, and I mean, at some point, his name probably will get called unless Kyle Orton just gets hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't know what you're doing at a running back. It's a mixed bag, but it works. But, like, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. Like, if you're going to give him time early and you want him to learn on the fly, then
with him.
Yeah, play his ass 3 years and thank be you. Like, I gave you 3 years,
yep.
Just like Minnesota did. They gave Christian Ponder a gang of time. And he's just like, you ain't it.
Yep.
But if it's like after 1 year, oh, he's butt.
Plus, I'm like, he got hurt last year. Yeah,
first round pick.
Come on. You know? So, and I know they're like, well, we spent a first round pick on Sammy Watkins. We need somebody to give him the ball. It's like, well, let them develop a little rapport first. Right. I mean, come on. So,
like, did you feel E.J. Manuel was ready? Or did you just not have a quarterback that was good enough to play in front of him?
I think that was it. They just didn't have another.
Because didn't they have Fitzpatrick last year? Or was that a?
They had Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, and
he was with Tennessee.
Okay, all right.
So they didn't.
Yeah, they tried it. He struggled, and you're like, all right, let's see what happens this year. 4 games in, we're changing.
Oh, we started off undefeated. Oh, but now we suck. All right, done.
Okay. And the league said the Hussein Abdullah shouldn't have been flagged for the 15-yard penalty after dropping to his knees for praying after his pick 6 in that Monday night game. I mean, to me, the refs acted real quickly, just like, oh, you celebrating, you on your knees, flag. Wasn't really looking at what he was going to do. I'm like, eh, well, at least you admitted it. You know, luckily, they was whooping ass, so it didn't really hurt.
And he's very religious. He's a Muslim. I know he. There was a time I guess they prayed to Mecca.
Yeah.
So he took a year off from the NFL to go do that. They said he fasted for Ramadan during the season and shit. So I'm like, he's very serious when it comes to his religion. So
and he said
that was part of it.
And he said you know, whenever he catches his scores his first touchdown, because he's a defensive player.
He gives the glory to God.
Yeah, he would do, you know.
Or to Allah. Or,
give love to Allah and do a prayer. And yeah. That was it. He did it. You know, dude, but this is that whole guy. You can you spanked the ball.
Sensitive.
You slammed it. You spiked the ball.
Spiked the ball, flag.
Yeah, when I remember, I still remember that. It was like, if you spike the ball, you get a penalty for that. I'm like, I can't spike the fucking ball after I score a touchdown? The hell?
Oh, yeah.
No fun, league.
Nope.
All right, so getting into this week five stuff. Let's start off with the Thursday game. Packers came back. Whoop that ass.
Once we found out Christian Ponder was starting, I mean, we all knew what was going to happen. Mm. I sat every Vikings player on my team.
Yeah.
I was like, Cordarrelle Patterson, oh, bench. I'm not playing you. Christian Ponder's in. That means it's probably a loss. Right. And it was ugly.
Yeah, I mean.
It was terrible. Yeah,
third string in there because Matt Castle's banged up.
We clearly see why they drafted Teddy Bridge in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly.
Boo-boo.
God, they were terrible. And Aaron Rodgers, again, this was Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. Chopped him up.
And how about Eddie Lacy sighting?
Showing up.
Wow, my God. He rushed for over 100 yards. But, again, it was a Christian Ponder-led Minnesota Vikings team. So,
yeah, you have no Adrian Peterson, and you have no starting – you're starting QB out. So, what you going to do?
Yeah. It was a Thursday night game. We all kind of know how these Thursday night games go. They seem to always be blowouts.
Yeah, they've tried. I give it. They've tried. But – they have, at these last few, you know, started early on, it was like, okay, maybe this is going to buck the trend. I'm like, oh, this is looking like last year.
Yep.
Hey, I mean, for fans, yeah, I loved having an extra night to watch some football. I'm not complaining about that. But it's just, look, they're not going to put the best marquee game for the week on Thursday night. No, that's stupid.
That's dumb. That doesn't make any business sense.
No. It's going to be Monday night, or it's going to be Sunday night, or it's going to be sometimes Sunday morning.
We're going to pick a time when it's convenient for the families to sit down and watch the game.
Thursday night will give you a marquee team and hopefully somebody else who can make it competitive. But that's how it's going. That's it.
Yep.
So Green Bay, you know, riding the ship, looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3-2. Okay. Trying to get some things done. Let's look at the other popping games. For Sunday, for this weekend.
Honestly, things that pop out, there aren't a whole lot of them. Houston's playing Dallas. I expect Dallas to win.
You got the Bears and the Panthers. You know,
Bears should win 2-2.
They don't want to go down 2-3.
Bears should win that game, even though they are on the road in Carolina. Cam Newton's banged up. Chicago needs to bounce back. Matt Forte got going the last game. I think he'll continue that. I see Chicago winning that game.
Hey, this is a game for whoever loses the game is going to be in real bad shape. This Buccaneers at New Orleans. If the Saints don't – look, you're playing at home against Tampa Bay. That should be a W.
Should be.
Yeah.
But the way –
if we come back next week and they have a loss, you lost to Tampa Bay at home –
I'm done with you for the season.
1-4.
Done for the season.
Ugh.
Done for the season.
Hey, man. Ravens, 3-1 Ravens at the 2-2 Colts. Hey, Andrew Luck.
Big game for Andrew Luck.
Yep. He is right now. We know he in that mix for a quarter of the way in for some MVP love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's been killing.
He's been murdering, man. And he's had to do it basically all by himself.
Mm-hmm. Now, Trent Richardson has looked okay.
He's looked better than last year. He looked better than last year. He still don't look like that number three overall pick.
Nah, he ain't going
to
be that.
But he looks better than he did last year. He seems to be – he and Amon Bradshaw seem to make a nice little tandem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a good game, though. That's going to be a really good game.
No, that's going to be a good game. Hey, man, yo squad, that's going to be a nice matchup. Cardinals at the Broncos. Nice test for both teams.
It's going to be a tough game, man. I mean, Arizona's undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is still playing solid. You know, Bruce Arians did coach Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Tom Moore, Peyton Manning's old offensive coordinator for X amount of years, is there. They know Peyton like Peyton knows Peyton.
Both of these teams are on bye, so they've had a full,
week. To kind of get to know each other.
Almost
and
2 weeks to prepare.
To prepare film. It's kind of similar like they do for the Super Bowl. So This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I like that one. Hey, Alex Smith, statement game.
Hey, I'm going back to Frisco. I normally do not pull for division winners, but I'm division comp, but I'm pulling for KC in this one. I want Alex Smith to go back to Frisco and shove it to them. I do, because I'm like, F y'all, F Colin Kaepernick, eat kick rocks, nigga. We win. Look what you could have had. Because the way they got rid of him was so shady. Was so shady.
Yeah, it was.
It was so shady. And I was just, I know I've never been a big Alex Smith fan, but he has gotten crapped on since he was the number one pick coming out of Utah. I'm like, that wasn't his fault.
He deserves some. Although he had, like, what, a new court, offensive coordinator every year.
And then what happened? Aaron Rodgers drops all the way to the Packers, gets to sit behind a Hall of Fame quarterback for 3 years, and he's great. And they're like, he should have been the number one pick, clearly. I'm like, well, had Alex Smith had the chance to sit behind a Hall of Fame quarterback, learn, have the same coordinator, same offense for years and years, maybe Alex Smith would be a lot better than he is today. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, he changed coordinators every year. Basically, since he was the number one pick, nobody gave him a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. He's had to go through several head coaches. Come on, man. Yeah, I hope he goes there and whoops their ass.
What, and then that Harbaugh comes.
I'm sorry, Niner fans, but I hope he kicks their ass.
They get to the NFC Championship with him. Harbaugh's first year, so clearly
back
you got to come.
Next year, we won eight. We're 8-1.
And I get hurt.
Colin Kaepernick, where you at?
He gets hurt, basically loses his job.
Boy.
And now he goes, you know, he got his check in Kansas City.
Led them to the playoffs.
You know, this is a big game for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. And for the Niners.
Mm-hmm. For the Chiefs, you know, this is beating a well-known team with a top defense. You know, you don't have supposedly the weapons to go on a big shootout. And, you know, Niners is good at stopping that run.
Now, the Niners do know him. Mm-hmm. That is to their advantage. Well, they know Alex Smith's tendencies. They know what he can do. But Andy Reid is a very good coach. Mm-hmm. He knows how to scheme. We saw what he did against Bill Belichick. So this is going to be a very, very good game. I can't wait. This is going to be great.
And for the Niners, you know, you've kind of rided the ship a little bit. You know, there is all that chirping going on about Jim Harbaugh. You know, we heard it with Deion Sanders, you know, saying that a lot of the players he's starting to lose the locker room a little bit. And he equivocally was like, shut up, Deion Sanders, which you don't know nothing.
And
like, wow, okay. You know, they still got the talent to do it.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards the Niners in this game.
I'm going Kansas City all the way. All the way. This is my pick for the week.
Okay.
Kansas City beating San Francisco. And I mean, the two highlight games on Sunday night and Monday night, they aren't very appealing.
They are not
very appealing.
Yeah, Cincinnati's going to the Patriots, which the way this has been played out, it's like, oh, Bengals should go in and just win.
If they don't win, I mean, well, this is a big game for New England. If New England loses this game, then I don't know.
Yeah,
people going to question if y'all going to even win the division.
Yeah. People not going to think you're going to do anything. Yeah. Cincinnati's talented. They defense is for real.
But they can be beat.
Yeah, and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for them, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, this big for Andy Dalton. I mean, they are the Patriots. You are going against Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady.
So you got to prepare for that. Maybe you can catch them slipping.
Yep.
Having that, having to play on Monday. Yeah, that game is – I'm watching it. For
Seattle
sure.
And Washington.
This just looked like, well, you know, look, it was supposed to be Russell Wilson versus RG3.
Yes, it was.
All of that. Right now, this looked like.
Kirk Cousins, you about to look bad again.
You know.
Unfortunately, it's not your fault. You're going against Seattle, but.
However, Seattle's coming to play you, which means anything's possible.
Yeah.
When they're on the road.
They are vulnerable.
However, they should be winning this game by 10 plus
especially
points.
Especially with the way they lost against Denver. And they were on the bye too, right?
Mm-hmm. They were on the bye too.
They had 2 weeks to prepare.
You know, they went on the road and they won road game. They lost bad.
Now, to be fair, it was against Phillip Rivers in San Diego.
Right.
And Phillip Rivers way better than Kirk Cousins. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see.
You know,
Washington's defense has been atrocious. Kirk Cousins...
Yeah, they supposedly had a good run defense.
I mean their run defense has been okay, but against Marshawn Lynch, that's a tough task.
Hopefully for him, he should be somewhere in the middle. He ain't going to be throwing no four. If you throw four touchdowns against this defense, like, damn.
You got some skills.
But I don't expect him to be crap.
No.
But, you know, playing at home,
it's going to be rough.
Competitive,
it's going to be rough.
But, hey, you 1-3. You go 1-4.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you got Philly sitting at 3-1.
But I will say, because of your division, anything's possible.
Yeah, it's still early. But you need to get that dude on the roll. All right, y'all. So that's the NFL for week 5. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. But we're about to take a quick break, come back, get into some NBA talk. Time to get some previews on, man.
Yes, sir.
Y'all, listen to the Brothers Limit Sports Happy Hour.
Yeah, man, I've been fucking around, smoking blunts, getting drunk, put on a couple of pounds. But nowadays, with responsibility, I respond by turning on my exhaust abilities with routines and new ways to approach things like reading books and buying more groceries. I'll emphasize on diet and exercise. I'm trying to get outside every once in a while and, like, play some tennis, man. I was good when I was 10, but then again, I really haven't played since. And like my chess game, my defense lane, same as my handle if I made it to the lane, cause I'm too soft and my J's a little off. But in football, I am Fred Biletnikoff or Steve Largent, a smaller target, boss up the backyard, yeah, thanks to my father. So Ed McCaffrey's probably my favorite athlete, he or Marcus Allen, yo, that running back was nasty. Me, Mark Lemke, played till I was 17, second and center, then cut from JV. That's when I found beats and when I found weed. Smoke, rap, rap, eat, eat, smoke, rap, heat. 18, that's me, earrings, CZ, all clothes, baggy, dressed so badly. But now I'm older, I'm folded over, just laughing at my stupid ass. Like, damn, I can't believe that's Asher, but that's what happens, man. You gotta go through all the bowls so you can grow and then come into your own, but now I'm ready to show the world what I've become. I'm going for sort of Brad Pitt and Fight Club. So I jump rope, do yoga, down dog. I don't lift weights, nah, I really hate to jog. But what's more important than endorphins? Tony Horton got me snorting till I could floor Norton, man. Fuck the sore shit. The pain is good, makes the hate go away. A new day understood, and I'm feeling fresh, man. I'm feeling blessed, man. I feel I can appreciate a deep breath, and I confess, I love the weed. She's my sweet, sweet Sheba, that sexy sativa. But I think it's time, just for a little bit, to resign from getting high. Cause, homie, this is it. It's 2010, last chance to make myself. I plan to have a fam, start expanding on my wealth. I can't do it being stupid, watching movies and the news about how we're ruined. Then I'll be cool if I work for you. Screw that. Rather be shackled than do crap that didn't matter. Yeah, I'm happy that I've taken on the path that's less traveled. So fuck the drugs, man. I need my lungs. Spread the message to the next man that respecting is expected. No matter what your ethnic, sex, or sex preference. From peasants to the reverends to the ex-convicted felons. We're all connected, man. Energetically, and I say it at the risk of sounding deep, but I suggest you correct your head and neck. That reflects the physical and the spiritual is next, and that's where we twisted with different religions, and everything is linked if you just start from the beginning. In science and politics, negatives and positives, took the negs and positives, and now I got a lot to give.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lamb Sports Happy Hour. Y'all want to hit us up, talk some football? What's your team like? Quarter of the way in, what you thinking so far? Hit us up, thebrotherslayman at gmail.com, on Twitter, at brotherslayman, on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, thank y'all for tuning in, and yes, if you got anything y'all want to get at us with, any fantasy questions or anything like that, holla at your boys.
Holla. Oh, yeah. All right, y'all. So like we said, the NBA is coming up, and we are going to start previewing these divisions, getting ready for this season, y'all.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're probably going to do two each, you know, the next few weeks. So first up, we're starting with the Atlantic Division.
The weak East.
Start with the East first.
Start with the East.
Because the West is best.
We're going to start with the weakest division.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Probably the weakest division in all of basketball.
Yeah,
so
the most hyped up. Just to recap for last year, you had Toronto at won the division, 48 wins, you know. Brooklyn came in second, actually matched up in the first round with Brooklyn taking that. You know, the Knicks coming off that 52-win season, underachieved greatly.
Oh, big time.
From 52 to 37 wins. You know, Boston Celtics. Yeah, they traded everybody.
Rebuild.
You know, no
rebuild.
Rondo. So rebuild. They don't rebuild 125. And the Philadelphia Eagles, Philadelphia 76ers swung for the number one pick and didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ended with a 19-win season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's start with the top. You know, Raptors actually sold some nice moves. Kept Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
You know, kept what Patrick Patterson. You know, what you think of them going into this season? Now they had a taste of the playoffs. What'd you think?
They had a little taste of the playoffs. I don't know if they made enough moves to get over the hump, though.
Okay.
All they really did was re-sign Kyle Lowry. They didn't really add anything else to the squad. So I don't know how I feel about them. Honestly, I see them finishing second in this division. I don't see them. I do not see them repeating as division champs.
Okay. Wow. Okay. You know what? I do like them. Like you said, they haven't done much. I mean, Kyle Lowry's solid. You know, DeMar DeRozan, a little bit overhyped, but I think this dude, you know, he's the guy. I think, you know, I like seeing guys who get a taste of the playoffs, what they're going to do next season, and I'm curious to see what he's going to do. I like him a lot. You know, Jonas Valanciunas, you know, for me, he's my X factor for this squad. I think, you know, this dude has played well last year. I think the year before he sat out a year or so. I think, you know, getting him exposed to the game, he's got a little bit of the NBA under his belt now, got his little playoff success as well. You know, I like what they bring in. Yeah, their bench is, you know, okay. You know, Landry Fields, Grievous Vasquez is nice. I do like the addition of Lou Williams, though.
Yeah.
As a little, you know, coming off the bench, nice scoring, spread the floor. But I do like them. I do like them. What's your X factor for this squad?
For me, the X factor is going to be Terrence Ross. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy who was a top 10 pick a couple years ago. A guy they looked to score some points. I mean, people forget he had a 51-point game last year. So the kid can clearly put up points. But they need a third go-to guy with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Valanciunas, I believe
it's Valanciunas.
Valanciunas. Either he or Terrence Ross. Somebody's got to step up. But I'm looking for Terrence Ross. This is his third season. Mm-hmm. He's got to show some game. This is time. This is it.
Yeah.
It's got to be a breakout season for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you do want to get to the next level past the first round, so you've gotten a taste now. So getting the first round ain't nothing. You're trying to win this division. You are going to need some help. And, you know, he definitely does have to step up.
Yep.
All right, on to the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn?
Fuck Brooklyn. Nah, I'm just playing, y'all. But, hey, this is the team I expect to finish number one.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, because they finally picked up the coach I said they've been needing to pick up since last year, since they picked up Jason Kidd's weak self.
Yeah, we
were. Lionel Hollins, baby. He is going to get them and see to it that they get the number one seed. He is my X factor
because
he brings a winning attitude, an old school approach.
He's a veteran guy.
We saw what he did with the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. They were always in contention with him. He brought out the best in some of those guys. Developed Marc Gasol. A lot of people don't really give him a lot of credit for that, but he did a great job developing Marc Gasol.
And Mike Conley.
You know, you're getting Deron Williams, who, granted, he came out and said he's not fully healthy yet, but if he can get there and get back to, you know, close to 100%, I think he can do some big things. I like the addition of Jarrett Jack. You got Brooke Lopez coming back from injury. If he can stay healthy, that's a big if.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can stay healthy, I see them running the offense through him and utilizing him and him being back to being a 20-point-plus center in the league. There it is.
All right. Yeah, that was your boy, my man from the Toronto Raptors. I still love that. Well, we're going to win. Fuck Brooklyn. I mean, Brooklyn dealing with enough. I mean, already you got the owner. Mikhail Pokeroff is okay with selling the majority. You know, you didn't overspend. Yeah,
he got that luxury tax bill and was like a million. Oh, got to sell.
$120 million luxury tax bill.
I can't
bill.
Do it no more.
You know? And they let Paul Pierce go.
Yeah.
And couldn't resign him. I mean, Kevin Garnett, you know, this is his last year on his deal. This might be it for him. You know, they got supposedly going to start Kirilenko at the three. You know, I don't know how I feel about this. This team has talent. I do like the addition of Lionel Hollins. I think he's going to make a big jump. I think they will respect him a little more. He'll be able to get more out of him, him being a veteran coach, and you got veteran guys on the team. My X factor is Brook Lopez. If they're going to get to winning the division, as you think they will, he's got to stay healthy and produce.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, no Paul Pierce, so he was usually your late-game guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joe Johnson will take more of that and mm-hmm. should. I mean, yeah. You're paying him that damn much.
Yeah, that's true.
He needs to step up. But I like Brook Lopez. I hope for his sake he plays well.
I hope he stays healthy.
Kevin Garnett has
declined.
Yeah, very.
Like we said with the elites, mm-hmm. they decline after a while. Kevin Garnett, prime example.
Yeah, so I hope he at least gets some, you know,
I hope he's better than last year. I hope he looks better than last year. Because last year he looked garbage.
Yeah, I don't expect him to be that dude, the big ticket anymore.
No,
but
no.
You can't fade away to be like a damn, like for real role
like
player.
Like a 10-minute a game player. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
No, they're going to rest you,
son.
Yeah, they're going to rest you, okay. But, yeah, they need to do something with that. All right, on to the Knicks. Hey.
I got some words.
Phil Jackson's in the house.
Knicks fans are going to hate me.
Derek Fisher.
Spike Lee, don't be mad at me.
Coaching.
Spike Lee, don't be mad at me.
Anthony back.
I got the Knicks winning third by default.
Damn.
Only because the two teams below them are rebuilding. That is the only reason I have the Knicks at third. I'm not sold. I am not sold. The Knicks brought back the exact same squad they had last year who didn't make the playoffs in the garbage East, in the sorry East. So, I mean, the East is improved now. So,
yeah.
I mean, they really, yes, they made the deal to add, they traded your boy Raymond Felton, Tyson Chandler.
Got Jose Calderon.
I mean, they got Jose Calderon, but in a sense, I thought that trade made them worse off. Tyson Chandler was pretty much the anchor of your defense. Who is it
pretty
now?
Pretty much.
Amari Stoudemire and Bargnani?
Yeah.
Wow. I terrible. What?
Yeah, your answer to that, who's a defensive anchor? Hold on. I'll wait. They don't have one.
Exactly. So I'm like, you just traded your best defensive player. Is Samuel Dahlenberg going to hold it down? I don't think so. So you got a rookie head coach who, once again, they did what I don't like. You picked a guy right out of retirement, no experience whatsoever. Granted, the man looked and acted like a coach basically in the last few years of his career. But Derek Fisher honestly needed some experience. I know it's like, oh, he learned from Phil, and Phil this, and Phil. Phil is also a rookie in his position. He ain't never been an executive.
Nope.
So now you got two rookies at two of the most important positions in the organization. I know Carmelo's hooting and hollering about the triangle offense and everything. Tex Winter created it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too many. And Tex Winter, last time I checked, was on the bench with Phil Jackson when he was all through his tenure with the Lakers and Bulls.
Yep.
I'm not sure anybody on that Knicks bench has perfected the triangle offense. You can say Derek Fisher did, but Tex Winters perfected and knew that sucker like the back of his hand. I'm not sure I don't know how the triangle offense is going to work, honestly, without Tex Winters. Nobody's brought up that point, but I'm bringing that point up. This is the first time it's being run without Tex Winters in it. And that's going to be unique to me because I'm curious to see, you know, how it's taught because, you know, you can teach it, but, you know, the creator always is more knowledgeable than the pupil.
Yeah, nobody's really picked this system up since it's Phil's done it and Tex Winter's done it. Yeah, they hadn't done much. The trade seems better offensively. You get a true point guard. I do like Calderon.
I like Calderon.
In that system.
But you got worse defensively, and you were already bad.
Yeah, and you've already kind of bad-mouthed Tyson Chandler, saying he, you know. But, I mean, if it's like, we wanted to get rid of Raymond Felton. Yeah, I get that, because he was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still got J.R. Smith.
Whoopty.
You know, you got Shumpert. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. has been getting a lot of love, mm-hmm. You're not expecting much out of him.
No.
Amare's last year. So basically, all you want him to do is play well so you can trade him.
Pretty much.
Hey, he balling. You want him for a year? Cap space. You know, I don't really expect much out of them. Do I? I feel for Melo in a sense. He said he was going to stick it out.
I give him credit for that, but I'll get on Melo later.
Yeah, and you know it's a year in. Like, all right, we know next season, this offseason, you'll have the cap space, mm-hmm. which you can make some moves. I don't know if you will. That's all. We don't know. You'll just have the space, which sometimes don't mean nothing. But I'll see what they're going to do.
I would say
for my X factor, whoever the defensive coach is, that's my X factor. Their defense has to step up. Melo's going to play his ball. I like Calderon. You know, J.R. Smith can give you something. Even Amari can score. And you still got Andre Bargnani. But they have to play some semblance of defense if they want to make the playoffs, let alone do anything. So I don't know what kind of defense scheme they're going to run. I guess Shumpert's their best defender. And there's no tell. I don't know if he's going to start. So I don't know what they're going to do. But defense, to me, is very important for them if they're going to do anything.
Agreed. And for me, the X factor is going to be Amari Stoudemire. I don't think they have had a post presence since Amari initially signed in New York.
Mm-hmm. That first year.
So, to me, he's going to be the key. If he can stay healthy 82 games, I think he can still – he's not going to be Amari like he used to be. But I think he can still be serviceable enough to where teams can't zero in specifically on Carmelo and, you know, just leave Amari by himself anymore. I think if Amari can stay healthy, he'll be able to do some damage. He can be that number two guy in the offense, give them a post presence. You know, is his rebounding going to improve? Probably not. Is his defense going to improve? Probably not. But the one thing he has shown in his career is he can score. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, he can put up points in the paint. So they need that besides Carmelo. You need somebody else that can score. So to me, that's the X factor is Amare. If the brother can't stay healthy for at least 75 games, they may be worse off than I thought. I'm just going
to
say that.
All right. On to the Boston Celtics. You know, Rajon Rondo saying he want to stay with him. You know, he's saying what he's supposed to say. I don't really believe that. But they basically have went young, you know, got a – what's my main name? Marcus Smart. In the draft. They got young in the draft. They got some young pieces. I could see what they're going to do.
Added Evan Turner. Added Marcus Thornton.
Yeah, I want to see what they're going to do. What you think?
Surprisingly, I expect them to be last.
Ooh, wow.
I think the thing is with Philly's going all in.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% certain Boston's going all in. Until they trade Rondo, I'm not fully sold they're going all in.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you're really rebuilding, why even hold on to Rajon Rondo? Get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Trade him. You drafted Marcus Smart. I mean, you might as well. But now, I mean, his value has dropped more now that he's hurt again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now he's clearly injury prone. Guys, nobody's pretty much going to want to trade for him. So, I'm not expecting much out of them. As far as X factor wise, for me, the X factor is going to be Danny Ainge. It's going to be based on what moves he's able to make for this team to improve them for the future. Because right now, I mean, I'm looking at the squad. I mean, you got Jeff Green. Besides that, Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Avery Bradley.
Yeah. Avery Bradley, I think y'all overpaid.
Yeah.
Gerald Wallace. Yeah. I mean, their team is – they're not going to be very good. They're not going to be a very good team.
Yeah, my X factor is going to be I think it's going to be the point guard position. You know, hopefully for them, Rajon Rondo can come back and give them something, you know – he can run – when he comes back, he can run the system a little bit. You know, he doesn't have to – I don't need him to be the number one scorer and all that. I know people want put that on him. If he can just be that dude to just run the offense, get these young guys going, because you've got youth on your side, you know, with Jared Sellinger, Tyler Zeller, you know, Jeff Green's athletic, you know, these young dudes, and push the tempo, you might be able to do something real good. And, you know, if not, then Marcus Smart needs to show up. And all that, but if it's just gonna be a free for all, yeah, I'm not sold on them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but they are rebuilding, as are the 76ers,
who I expect to finish fourth.
Yeah, they just, man.
They're all in on rebuilding. And I'm not mad at them. Sometimes that's what you got to do.
I know, you know, they wouldn't pick Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. But I know for sure behind the scenes. I'm like, if your fucking ass was healthy, we could have had Andrew Wiggins, nigga. Yep. Thanks. However, I mean, hey, with Joel Embiid, Norris Noel. You know, Norris Noel, you know.
He's shown flashes in the summer league. If Joel Embiid ever can pan out, you know, we don't know. But I'm like, if you get those two, you have a potentially great defensive tandem up front.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like what they're doing because, like I said, they bought in rebuilding. They know they're going to suck. They know they're rebuilding. They're trying to gain assets. That's why I think they're going to finish fourth, because you got guys who are fighting for spots. Don't know if this will be like their one time to shine in the league. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think a lot of their guys, honestly, are going to play harder than a lot of the guys in the league. Mm. Just because their spot, you don't know with a lot of. I mean, honestly, the only people on this roster guaranteed to be here, Michael Carter Williams, Joel Embiid, Norman's Noel. That's it. Those are the three players, honestly, on their whole roster that are guaranteed to be there next year. Everybody else is up for questions.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, if I'm one of those players, I'm playing my butt off every game. Because either I'm going to be back here or I'm playing to get me a contract.
Yeah.
So I just think them using that effort and playing hard. And in all honesty, Brett Brown as coach, he did a halfway decent job. They came out the gates pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they surprised some people. Mike Carter Williams had triple-double in his first game. I mean, they have talent.
Yeah, they just went downhill from
there. Yeah, they don't have a lot of it. So I think you're going to have guys who are going to play hard. They're going to give it their all, and they're going to play it the right way.
Okay.
So I think that'll give them a little bit of a head up, leg up on Boston.
Okay. My X factor for this team basically is health. I mean, I know Mike Carter Williams was banged up before. No one's Noel. At some point, he's going to have to bulk up, but I know this being his first true season playing, he just needs to get used to
the
banging.
Speed of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and playing and all that. If they can stay healthy, you know, Joel Embiid can somehow maybe come back toward the second half of the season. It just does something. But hopefully for health, because you need to see if these guys are going to do anything, and you know you're going to be in the lottery again.
And, yeah, for me, my X factor is going to be the coach, just because – if he can develop the players, I think he can be there for a while. Mm. They might have something going on.
All right, I was thinking about that too. All right, so give me your rankings, 5-1.
5-1. All right, 5-1. Number 5 is going to be Boston. Number 4, Philly. 3, New York Knicks. 2, the Toronto Raptors. And the number 1 division winner will be the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm. I'm actually looking at it. I pretty much have it. I think it's going to be the same way it ended last season. I got Philly last. You know, Boston, I think, has enough talent to – between them two, I think Boston can pull out a few more wins. The Knicks should be better, close to 500, but I don't know. I think Lionel Hollins there and having that bad taste in their mouth will motivate them a little bit for Brooklyn to be ahead of them. But Toronto, to me, is the best team in this division and should prove it and lock this down.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, out east. Out west, let's jump into this Northwest division.
All right.
Hey, Oklahoma City, you know, led by their tandem. You know, MVP now, Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Westbrook had a little game.
The best point guard in the league.
You know, made it to the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. Ended up losing to my Spurs. You know, they got something to prove.
Yeah.
Portland came out the gate. Mm-hmm. People weren't really talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got the 54 wins.
I picked them second. Yeah. I picked them to finish second.
Got the 54 wins and, you know, made it to the second round.
You did a good job,
you know,
man.
Looked
did
really good. Job. You know, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So long, Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. You know, going on the rebuilding project. They were third with 40 wins. The Denver Nuggets fell off.
Oh, man. Terrible.
Fell off. Terrible. Only 36 wins. And the Utah just
rebuilding, know, Jazz.
Yeah.
Been rebuilding since Stockton Malone.
Yeah, they had let Jefferson and Millsap. It seemed like they have. They only came out with 25 wins.
Yeah, so it was rough. They'll probably be last again, so.
Yeah, I could totally see that. All right, let's start with the division champions, Oklahoma City, one of five favorite teams to win the championship. You know, they've been playing well. I think this seems to be another make or break season. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to the finals with James Harden and the squad, and, you know, 2 years since they haven't. Granted, 2 years ago, I know Westbrook was banged up and all that. But last year, hey, Kevin Durant took the next step, got his MVP.
Cried for mama.
Mm-hmm. You the real MVP. no, came great. Close. Yeah, they came good. Close. Yeah. I mean, they play the Spurs real tough. Spurs sometimes hard to handle that quickness. But people were questioning Scott Brooks and his lineups. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin Durant kind of faded toward the end.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is his usual, you know, wanting to score self, you know, gotten them overtime games and did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, what you think of Oklahoma, their chances?
I mean, look, they're going to be one of the top teams in the West again. I don't think there's any question about that. They're going to win their division again. I don't really think there's, I mean, barring injury, they're going to win their division again.
Yeah, they should.
The only thing with their team is they didn't really do a whole lot of movement. Didn't make a whole lot of changes. So I guess they're banking on the fact that, you know, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, they're still young, so hopefully they'll still improve and still get better. Anthony Morrow, mm-hmm. very good 3-point shooter mm-hmm. to add to their repertoire. So we'll see what they can do. Like I said, it's the same team. So as has been said many times, as long as Russell Westbrook, if he's going to be a point guard, runs the point guard position and ain't chucking up more shots than Kevin Durant, I am satisfied. Now, if he's an off guard, I don't care how many shots he takes. But if he's going to be a point guard, ain't taking more shots than Kevin Durant. He honestly shouldn't be taking more than Kevin Durant anyway, since Kevin Durant's more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just be honest, it's a better score, mm-hmm. period. So as far as X factor goes, I mean, it's got to be Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks has to make adjustments, has to do a better job of making them. I mean, he has the talent to work with. I mean, he's going to have to use some of these other guys, like your Perry Jones, your Jeremy Lambs, you know, Nick Collison, they still need to use things, guys like that, Reggie Jackson, of course. But he's going to have to dig into his bench a little bit more than have, like, a six-man rotation. I mean, he got to go deeper than that.
Yeah.
I mean, golly, these guys can only go so far, so long, you know, playing so many minutes. So he's got to stretch out his bench, his rotation a little bit, but it's got to be Scott Brooks for his adjustments.
Okay. I expect them to do well as well. Still be one of them probably top two teams in the West. They are going to need more from their bench, and that is my X factor, are the others.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be partially due with Scott Brooks. He's got to give these dudes more time. You have got to give Jeremy Lamb more damn minutes.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lamb was solid. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you got rid of Cephalosha. You did not play him. He's gone. So unless you're going to make – Russell Westbrook play defense, unless he's going to step up and be like, I'm going to guard the best perimeter player, you know, and really add that to his repertoire, which he can.
Mm-hmm.
He is strong enough to guard some of these two guards and points out here. He can do that. But, you know, Reggie Jackson proved himself. I know he said he wants to start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We'll see.
He's either going to, if he's not running point, he needs to come off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably start Jeremy Lamb. You know, but they're going to need other guys. Serge Ibaka, look, he's not going to be the third scorer. You know, I thought he might be, especially after having that season playing with Spain, you know, having a real, you know, showing up. And he's not that dude. Maybe mm-hmm. he's your defensive guy. I know the center's up for grabs with Kendrick Perkins hurt. I think Steven Adams is going to take that. He was a nice find, nice energy guy, nice rebounder. It's going to take all of them
mm-hmm.
in order to really get to the finals and win. We know what Kevin Durant can do. I said it before. I'll say it again with this. I'm going to need Kevin Durant at this point to show me some fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's passionate dude and all that. But when somebody screws up, when you need to pull somebody by the shirt and get in their face for a little bit, you need to do that.
Yep.
And for Westbrook, you have got to learn – when and where to shoot. Mm-hmm. You can get your, you can drive all the time. And, you know, just like these great scorers, you know, your Jordans, your Kobe's, your guards who can just take over at will, you have to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And you want to get, you want to get Durant going? Cool. You want to get Reggie Jackson, you want to get Lamb, you want to get Ibaka going? Cool. Because you did show in the playoffs that in fourth quarter, you can basically get to the basket when you want. You know, and if he continues to do that, pick and chooses when to shoot threes, mm-hmm. you know, realize I need to get to the rack. You know, Durant is going to be that guy who's probably going to take a lot of jumpers. You know, I even though Durant is long and lean, Westbrook is better at getting to the rack mm-hmm. with authority too. He just goes to the rack. Mm-hmm. So if they handle that, you know, good things will happen for him.
Yep.
All right. Unexpected Portland Trail Blazers really made a big splash. You know, you had
they'll be number two.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge really showed up, became the leader of the team. You know, we saw them 240-plus point games he had against Houston. You know, it's like, okay, you know, Damian Lillard, balls, taking big shots. This guy's been a big shot maker. I'm curious to see what he's going to do. Batum really showed up. You know, you still got Wesley Matthews. Robin Lopez proved to be a nice complement to LaMarcus Aldridge. Really played some defense, I think, really found a team. You know, I think Terry Stotts is going to do a good job with this team. I like what they have. I think C.J. McCullough, I know he was banged up, but should provide a little bit of a more of a spark. Steve Blake as your backup point, I do like that. You know, added Darrell Wright. Thomas Robinson, you know, he clearly is not going to be that number five guy, mm-hmm. but he can give him something. I do like this team. I think they can be real explosive. I think, you know, you kept them together. As with all these other teams, you get some playoff taste. You get some playoff success. You know, that should be a motivating factor. I think they can still win 54 games or more. Mm-hmm. I think they can be real dangerous. My X factor with this team is going to be, as well as the other guys, I think, you know, and honestly, in particular, I think it's going to be Batum and Matthews. Mm-hmm. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, he has a great mix. He's very Duncan-esque. Not all the way, because he's not he don't bang like that. But LaMarcus Aldridge is the go-to guy in the post, and he can step out for that jumper. I like that. You know Lillard is going to bring it every damn night. Batum and Matthews have to be the third and fourth guy. Batum has the talent. You know, he had those big moments with that big shot. I think that was game 3, I think. You know, really made some noise. Matthews, if he can stay healthy, he's been a solid defender, knocked down three-pointers. If those guys can really step up and carry some of this load so it's not on their big two, I think they can be real dangerous this season.
Yeah, I agree. I got Portland being second in the division. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge proved last year he is one of the best point power forwards, if not the best power forward in the league. You could argue that.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard, I mean, had his coming out party, had that big game winning shot against Houston in the playoffs. I mean, clearly he has arrived.
Yep.
He has arrived. So I expect him to continue big things. I mean, for me, I mean, I basically agree with everything you said. The X factor for me has to be Nicholas Batum. He is a guy that he has the potential to be amazing,
mm-hmm.
really. But there's that P word again, potential. He has yet to really reach it. But he can put it all together. He's such a great player. He's very smooth. One of these young French players, a la your Tony Parkers, a la your Boris Diaz, how they kind of have the all-around game. He has the same thing. Probably he's a really good shooter. So, I mean, he has to step into that third scorer role. I know he's had his share of injuries, but if he can stay healthy, this is the year he's got to break out and show that he is that number three guy.
Yeah, Portland is nice and young, has a nice little mix. They can, you know, this West is tough, man. This West is tough.
And they have probably, you could argue, the best home court advantage mm-hmm. in the league.
That Rose Garden
gets loud and noisy.
Yeah, they be getting bucked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on to Minnesota. So we know Kevin Love is gone, which means expectations are low.
You rebuild.
Know, I thought when healthy, they could make the playoffs. They didn't, and they ain't making the playoffs this season.
No.
Either. Now, they went young. They had made the trade. You know, Andrew Wiggins comes over there. Anthony Bennett, you know, got Thaddeus Young.
Zach LaVine.
You still got a Pekovic, who was nice, who, you know, he signed a big contract, which means he's probably going to be gone. So, at some point, that's how they do.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Rubio, I know they got to sign to an extension. This team should be fun to watch. I will give them that. I think this team can be fun to watch, really do some things. My X factor for this team, I want to see what Anthony Bennett's going to do. I want to see what he's going to do. I think Andrew Wiggins, this is his first year. He can kind of do what he feels like. But I want to see what Anthony Bennett's going to do. Is he going to really do something? I know Pekovic is going to give his all. He's probably going to be a low post guy. Probably going to be a double-double machine, as he's always been, give you a block or two there. I want to see if Anthony Bennett can really step up his second year and really, you know, look, I don't expect him to be the number one pick potential. It's just all these one and done. There ain't nobody a number one like that. But I want him to salvage himself and, you know, at least prove to people that, hey, Cleveland, y'all shouldn't have traded me, and that y'all did make the right decision in picking me number one.
Yep. All right. So I kind of agree with what you said. I mean, Minnesota had to get rid of Kevin Love. We all knew he was gone. He didn't want to be there no more. I don't know if it was true, but they should have pounced on that Golden State deal to get Klay Thompson if it was true, because that would have been unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for Minnesota, I see them taking a step back this year. I got them finishing fourth in the division, clearly rebuilding. But the X factor for them, I think, is going to be Nikola Pekovic. I mean, this is a guy who, center-wise, isn't really talked about amongst the better centers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged 17 and 9 last year. I mean, without Kevin Love now, if he can put up 20 and 10 on a regular basis, he will be talked about in that discussion as arguably a top five center in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of the few true centers in the league. He ain't stepping out for jumpers and all that stuff. He bangs in the post, mm-hmm. and that's what he does. So I like him. I like his game. And without Kevin Love, I think he becomes your go-to guy. I think he is your go-to guy.
Yes.
Just in general on the team, I think he is your focal point.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm sure they'll give Andrew Wiggins the ball all the time and see what he's going to do. But, yeah, I want to see what they're going to do. But, yeah, they're going to be taking a step back.
Mm-hmm.
On to the Nuggets, who took a step back from that previous year.
Mm-hmm.
No, you still got Ty Lawson, Aaron Aflalo back. Kind of strange, but okay. You know, Kenneth Faried, very nice showing in the World Championships. I mean, all that talk of them trading him to the Knicks and all that crap, I'm like, this dude can play.
Yep.
You know, figure out what you need to do with him to make it work. You know, Gallinari and Chandler are hopefully back and healthy.
Randy Foy.
Yeah, they got some talent, though. What you think going into the season, how you like them?
I like them to be better than they were last year. I expect them to finish third in the division this season. No, Brian Shaw, Ty Lawson made a pit stop at the Denver Broncos practice to see how they run things, to see what a winning organization looks like in Denver. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I mean, I think Brian Shaw should have a much better season in his second year as coach. Had a little bit of ups and downs trying to get his system adjusted and all this other stuff. But the X factor for them is going to be scheme. They got to run an up-tempo system that fits their personnel. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, trying to slow it down. I don't know if he was trying to run the triangle, but I don't really seem like that's going to work with this group.
Right.
I mean, Kenneth Faried is a beast. And, I mean, he likes to go and transition and run. So they need to keep up the pace. And I mean, Randy Foy was big for them last year. But
yeah, he was.
Scheme fit, I mean, they need to get up and down. I mean, especially the fact they play in Denver. I'm like, you know, do what Denver Broncos do. Use that mile high air to your advantage. Run them fools off the building. Wear them out by the fourth quarter and then dominate. Period. I mean, they should have one of the better home court advantages in the league. They really should. So I look for them to, you know, maybe adjust their scheme a little bit, and I think that'll change things around for them.
Okay. For me, it's going back to health again. They need Gallinari to really stay healthy. He and Chandler to stay healthy. They can make a run.
Mm-hmm.
I would throw in another one who gets someone of an X factor who I would please love to step up, even though I love seeing your ass on Shaq and a Fool, JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee! I need you. Look. I'm not going to say I enjoy seeing him on Shaq and the Fool because he be making the plays. But for Denver to really do something and to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. they need the I gave your ass $10 million, JaVale McGee, that potential to, you know, you don't
take
need to
over
do,
a game defensively.
Yeah, he needs to just get some 8 or 9 boards, 3 blocks a game, just be high energy. You don't need to come in and you're not going to score and all that. But if he can, you know, like you said, with the scheme, kind of be an up-tempo type center who just runs and, you know, just grabs boards and blocks and just plays with energy, mm-hmm. you know, they can do some things. They have the talent, especially with Aaron Aflalo back now and healthy. They can make
some noise.
Yeah, they can make the playoffs mm-hmm. in the West. They can make it.
Oh, yeah.
Will they? I don't know. You know, they got it. You know, Nate Robinson had a nice little season for him last season. So if they just show and improve, I think they can really do something.
Yep. All right. Lastly.
On to the Jazz.
The Utah Jazz. New coach.
Yeah.
Top 5 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding.
Look, I need from them, Gabe Gordon Hayward, big Chet.
Smart move. That's my boy. I'm pulling for Gordon Hayward, too. Watch him ball out this season. Be all-star status.
Yeah, they got some talent, you know. Drafted Dante Exum
is that big point. Remains to be seen.
Yeah, Alex Burks is solid.
Got Rodney Hood out of Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot,
that was nice.
They got Steve Novak. Anytime you got Steve Novak, you got a chance.
Yeah, they got some. They do have some talent.
But I mean, Derek Favors. I got to go straight to it. Derek Favors is the X factor. He got to step up. This is it. This is it. Because I'm tired of hearing he going to break out. He's going to break out this season. He's going to break. He need to hurry up and break out then and take over. If he's supposed to be he has shown flashes that he can be dominant, but he has to do it consistently because this is starting to get ridiculous. I'm tired of this whole P word gets on my nerves because of this. Guys always show potential, and then they never live up to their potential. So hopefully he is the X factor. He's got to live up to his potential this season because Gordon Hayward can't do everything.
No, he can't. My X factor for them is their point guard position. They need to figure out who's going to run the team. You know, Trey Burke was supposed to be, you know, every time you draft a guy high at a position of need, he's the cornerstone at that position.
Yeah, until you
and
find
you
a
get
better
Dante
one.
Dante Exum.
Until you find another one.
Right. They need to solidify that. And I think Trey Burke will have a better season this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dante Exum will be solid off the bench, may even forget in the starting lineup later on. But they have got to figure that out. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, the other half of that would be Ernest Kanter, what you going to do? Show up.
Seriously.
You know, you seem to have some, you know, interest, like you said, potential.
Mm-hmm.
See what they going to do. But, you know, he's got to really be there defensively. We know mm-hmm. Derek Favors is that athletic guy. He got to provide that bulk and that defensive wall to not let guys come in and just have a better season, man. Yeah. They won, 25 games? You need to get close to about 35 of that.
Yep.
You can do better. But if they're going to do that, you know, he's got to step up and really be a force. Otherwise, it's like, well, he's not meant to play center.
Exactly.
Trade him.
Yep, done.
All right, so my 5-1, I got Utah at 5.
Mm-hmm.
I got Minnesota dropping down to 4.
Mm-hmm.
I see Denver making a nice push. They'll be 3rd. Mm-hmm. Nice push for that 8th spot.
Mm-hmm.
Portland, another 50-plus win team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're gonna fight for that. Well, not a wild card, but that 4th spot, home court advantage. They're gonna be serious. I want to see Portland do some. I think they're gonna be real dangerous. Oklahoma City, yeah, y'all going to be there. It's a lot of pressure on you. You know, you got to win. Hey, you know, you want. This is the problem of winning early. When you win early, people expect a lot out of you. And now it's, you know, championship or bust. You done lost. Clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
We know in a couple years, Washington's going to come knocking on the door of Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And it's going to be another year of can Westbrook and Durant coexist.
Yep.
I still think so, but you better do something or it's going to be looking bad.
Yeah. I got the exact same setup as far as who's going to finish in the division. Utah last, all the way up to OKC at number one. I think this is probably the easiest division to pick. It was pretty simple. I mean, clearly Portland and OKC are the top of that division. Denver somewhere in the middle. Minnesota and Utah at the bottom. I mean, it's not hard. So
it's just a youth race.
Yep.
All right, y'all. So that is our first of our previews for this NBA season.
Yes, sir.
You know, we'll be getting to more of that next week. We're going to take a quick break. I know we are running out long as hell.
Yeah.
We're going to come back, get some MLB talk, definitely get some college football, and get to our awards.
Yep.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla. Listening to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
We know Jonathan loves that.
All right, we back, y'all. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
Let us know what you think so far of the NBA previews. I know y'all ready. What you think of our picks and our thoughts? Hit us up, thebrotherslayman at gmail.com. Twitter, Brothers Layman. Hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, thank y'all for tuning in. And hope y'all stay with us throughout our awards. We got some good ones for you.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, we don't talk a lot of baseball during the season. It's a lot of games, hard to watch. Try to, you know, do my best to keep up and everything. But when the playoffs is here, I'm watching because every pitch counts.
Yes, it does.
And the games have been good.
Yes, they have.
And you know what? Shout out to Kojak Delta. We're going to start with your squad. The Kansas City Royals, 29 years of not making the playoffs. They went into that wild card game, man. I just saw all that blue. Man, this is what I love being a fan. When you see it's just a sea of blue and white, and fans are passionate because they haven't, you know, they ain't been able to experience this in a while. So I was loving it. And these Royals, man, these Royals are the team to watch.
Yeah.
First off, Oakland A's just choked. But I mean, come on. They were down 7-3 in the seventh, set it up, tied it up. You know, to go into extra innings, down 8-7 in the 12th to win 9-8. At home, folks loving it.
Yep.
Hype. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're going to do something. And then now, the Royals are up 2-0 on the what?
Angels, man.
American League champ Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, so, I mean, Kansas City Royals, I got to give them credit where credit is due. I mean, they pull it out. You know, they've got a nice mix, and these guys play hard. You know, Ned Yost has done a good job as the manager for this team, and they've got some guys who grind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they've got some ball players there. I mean, Alex Gordon is a guy who's been there for a long time, former third baseman. Only reason I really know so much about them is because they're in my division.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, Aoki, the outfielder, little Asian dude, that fool is sick.
Yeah.
He is sick. I like him. He puts his body on the line to make defensive catches. I mean, this is what you like seeing. These are guys who aren't stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. They're playing hard every day. They play top-notch defense. And, you know, they make clutch plays when they need to make clutch plays. So, I mean, this is a team where if you talk about an underdog, This is probably the one team in the baseball playoffs that nobody gave a shot. Yeah. Like Kansas City Royals.
Right.
I'd give anybody a chance over the Royals. Right. So I got to give it to them.
They you know, one win away from going to the LCS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking popping. You know, they've been fighting. That's right. They just play defense hard. No, and we've seen this before. I know when the Florida Marlins won, even when the Giants won. If you can just be scrappy. You know, get timely hits, keep the games close, or it's just a play or two needed. They just seem to step up and make them plays. Now, who ain't making plays? The Anaheim Angels, man.
Hey,
Mike Trout. You know, Mike Trout is your first. I think he's feeling it. I think, you know, he's the future of baseball. Your first time in the playoffs.
He's feeling the pressure.
Yeah, I think he might be pressing, but I mean, he and disappointing ass Josh Hamilton. both 0 for 8.
And Albert Pujols hitting a .125, so it ain't like he doing much better. So
You know, you squandered home field advantage. You've got to go there and at least prove yourself. Do not get swept. I mean, you know, folks in Anaheim were happy. You invested all this money. You've got the talent. But, you know, like they, I know when they brought up, I can't think of that pitcher's name, who got hurt, who they lost toward the end of the season, who was like they ace.
Who?
The Angels. I can't think of dude's name. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, when I saw that, people were kind of – I seen a little like, oh, shit, we might be in trouble. And, I don't, you know, it ain't probably ain't just him. But, you know, Mike Trout, look, you. This is the time they always – this is the time when you have fun. You get that it's pressure, but this is what you do when you were a kid. You always think of, all right, it's playoff time. These are the big moments. You've got to, if you just stress out and like, oh, I got to make every hit. I got to make every play. You're going to overthink things. Mm-hmm. You just got to get out and play. And for this expensive ass team, bring it back to Anaheim. However, cause look, I'm biased. I do want to see
Garrett Richards.
Yeah. I do want to see a three-way series.
Yes.
However, the Royals are looking exciting as hell to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if they pull it off and beat the, if they sweep this team, I'm like, God damn. This is why, hey, getting hot at the right time, mm-hmm. that's all that matters. All right, else in the American League.
Baltimore
up 2-0.
Good. Hey, Detroit Tigers anyway. Good. Yeah, Detroit, I ain't pulling for you. That's for damn sure. You know what? I'm pulling for Baltimore. I like pulling for teams that don't make it all the time. Mm-hmm. I get sick of seeing the same teams all the time, honestly. Hey, Buck Showalter, heck of a job he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the game the other day in my car, and I heard the comeback by the Baltimore Orioles.
Jeez.
Detroit's bullpen is garbage.
Jabba
Chamberlain. I mean, Negro, there's a reason the Yankees didn't want you anymore. And, I mean, who is it? Joaquin Soria? Like they said on the radio, he must be hurt because he ain't got the same stuff he used to have. I don't know what's going on with him. David Price, all these cats, Justin Verlander, ain't none of them pitching well, really.
Nah.
I don't know what it is.
And it seems like for most of these games, their starters have been doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they get to their bullpen, it is like, kiss it goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, gave up 8 runs in the 8th in game 1. Game 2, up 6-3.
Gave up 4.
4 in the 8th. I mean, but hey, Oreo fans are hype as hell. They
can
smell it. Yeah, they can smell it. You know, hey, they just like, look, if they go into game 3 and pelt the starter, I mean, they won. Because basically, you know, the bullpen ain't doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how it's looking.
Yeah, that's real, though.
So Baltimore is playing and, you know, might be two franchises who don't get talked about a lot who are going to make the AL Championship Series.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hey, more power to them.
Right.
All right, on to the National League. Hey, the Giants somehow just keep on winning. You know, I was telling people after that great wild card game with Carolina, I was like, watch. Next game, it's probably going to be lopsided. Show enough, Giants shut their asses, Pirates out, 8-0. Pitcher Madison Bumgarner allowed 4 hits, 10 Ks that night.
He's a beast.
Killing.
He's a beast.
And what they do, go up to go to Washington, get a W. Oh. PV versus Strasburg. PV gets that W.
Former White Sox Jake Peavy.
Hey, man.
I mean, hey, PV when he was in San Diego was a beast. I mean, he moved around. He hasn't been the same, but looks like he's doing pretty well in the in San Francisco Giant land. They tied 1-1 now in the bottom of the 12th.
Ooh.
With Washington. So, I mean, these playoff games have been really, really good. Washington, I mean, I don't know. They got to get themselves together.
For their sake, I hope last year wasn't supposed to be that year. But, you know, it's funny with the Giants. All it is, they get great pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defense is solid, and they just get timely hits. Everybody's saying every year they don't have great bats, but their bats come through when it matters, and that's all that matters.
And they have championship experience, so I cannot count them out.
No.
I can't count them out.
No, man. What, 2 championships and 2 World Series in the last
4
years?
Yeah, in the last 4 years.
Come on, man.
They're going to be dangerous. Count them out, yeah.
And they rival. Look, as a nonpartisan fan, that game might have been great to watch, but I know damn well Chavez Ravine. What? I checked my phone and it was like 6-1. I'm like, oh, these Dodgers got it.
Left work, it was like 5:30. I'm like, oh, 6-1? Game in the bag. Dodgers got it. And it's Clayton Kershaw pitching. What can go wrong? Yeah. Well, 8 runs in the 8th can go wrong.
What?
I mean, wow. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I know it's Clayton Kershaw. Once you get to like 4-1 inning, sit down. I'm sorry. You the ace, dude. Once you get to like 4 or like 5 at the most, once you hit like 5 runs in one inning, I can't do it anymore. I got to change it up.
It's just particularly for the playoffs, you mean?
Yes. Because especially if we're up 6-1 and then the lead is just dwindling. Dude, I got to yank
you. Yeah, it seemed like Don Mattingly decided to just stick with him. Because there was a point, I guess, when he might have given up a couple runs and they were like, do we pull him now? He tried. Now, as great as Clayton Kershaw has been, and this dude is great as a pitcher, this is now 2 years in a row against the Cardinals where he's had this happen.
Yep.
You know how the sports media is going to do.
Yep.
Is there something about the Cardinals where Clayton Kershaw just comes up and chokes? Because
I don't know. And I mean, you could argue, is this something with Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah.
Is he allergic to the playoffs?
I don't know, man.
I mean, that we got to ask these questions. He's one of the best in the league, but when you can't produce in the big moments, people are going to ask questions.
Yeah, I mean, this was
shocking.
This was bad.
This was shocking. This was really shocking, especially with him. I've always said they never put up runs when he pitches, and they gave him a hell of a lead to work with. So there really was no excuse on his part.
You would think, all right, Clayton Kershaw, maybe he has a bad game. Maybe he gives up 2-3 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, he gets, you know, a couple guys get hits on. He gives up a huge double, triple, homer, whatever. All right, he gives up a couple runs. You gave up 8.
8.
Damn. Yeah, I was listening to that game, and I was like, I got to hear this. And then had Puig at the end, strike his ass out.
Yep. And, I mean, for St. Louis, I know them Cardinals fans are like,
hey,
we about to do it again.
For the Cardinals.
We about to go back to the World Series again. We about to win another one again. Let me tell you something. This is probably this is a dynasty. Mm-hmm. They keep just churning out good teams. Yes, I don't know what it is.
They are very Spurs-esque. Where it's
I don't know what it is.
We get in the playoffs. All we got to do is get in the playoffs, and then it just happens.
And they just keep winning. So, I mean, for St. Louis, Matt Holliday, that's like the one guy I know besides their pitchers. Mm-hmm. I don't really know many of their position players, but Adam Wainwright had a weak-ass game. They still won.
Yeah.
They still won. So, I mean, the Cardinals are the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Like the Giants. I can't count them out. They're have playoff experience, and, you know, they've been here before.
Yeah, they have, man. But, it's been a great MLB playoffs.
Yeah.
We definitely will be talking about that going forward.
Mm-hmm.
On to this exciting, Saturday, because we are here Saturday, college football. I mean, I had to make notes of all these popping games that was going to pop off. Before we get into that real quickly, so this was a big deal during the week. We had Michigan backup Shane Morris. Was let back in the game after the concussion symptoms, looking like he was hurt.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, you know, Brady Hoke left him in. Now, Brady Hoke did take blame. Do you blame this on Brady Hoke? Is this his
partially,
fault?
Yeah, I'm like, you're the coach, which means you are supposed to oversee everything. You are in charge of everything. So we saw the dude basically had to lean on his teammate to get walked off the field. I mean, dude. How can you not know? You telling me there wasn't one person who came up to him and was like, Coach, Shane got rocked. Yeah. I don't know if he's good to go back in. I'm like, there's not one person who was like, whoa, he's going back in? Coach, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
See, but that's the question, though. Because I heard people were like, well, he's supposed to know. I was like, I haven't heard all week. There are supposed to be trainers and all that are supposed to tell him, yo,
He got dude a concussion.
Yo, dude, don't put him in.
In fairness to Brady Hoke, he said he didn't see it.
Right. Now, and that's
maybe
the thing.
He didn't see it.
That's the thing. I mean, if people are like, well, I mean, that's part of the thing with being the boss, being the head cheese, the head HNIC. Yeah. People are like, you're supposed to know everything. But if when you're that high up, you need people below you to tell you what's mm-hmm. going on. Like, I'm not in the trenches. Like, I'm not supposed to see it. Dude, this is why you run offense. This yep. is why you run defense. I can't look at every fucking player and off the other team too and see everything. Yeah. I need you to tell me what's
some
up.
Help, so.
And there should have been somebody.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like the way football is now and a lot of concern with concussions and those type of injuries, there had to be, and he sounded like nobody said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have been like, yo.
Dude, he don't need to go back in.
Pull him out.
Or honestly.
Even if he stumbled and played like the next play, somebody at least one or two plays in should have been like, get his ass out. Get him out. He looks stumbling. Get him out. And I don't know if that happened. So, I'd hate for him to see this blemish be the thing that he ends with going out. Because, look, I mean, Michigan ain't looking great. The conference has been boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
This might be it for him.
Yep.
And, you know, when it comes to player safety, we get all sensitive on certain things.
Exactly.
And this might be the thing that, you know, sees him go away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, on to these games.
Upset City.
Yeah, it's been a lot. Yo, first of all that Kenny Hill. Kenny Trill.
Nope. Can't beat Mississippi State. Is he better than Johnny Football? Clearly he ain't.
Nope. Lost 48-31 to Mississippi State. Like, whoa, that was a game for that ass. Yeah.
This quarterback from Mississippi State, Dak Prescott,
mm-hmm.
has been the guy that people have been talking about. So the only thing I really don't like with these college quarterbacks, especially these ones who run, he ran 23 times for 77 yards.
Damn.
For 77. You ran 23 times and only got 77 yards? What the heck were you running 23 times for?
Wait a minute. So you saying the quarterback.
The quarterback for Mississippi State
ran
23 times and only gained 77 yards. I see this all the time, though. Dudes run like 15 times and get 16 yards. I'm like, then where are you running?
Right.
What am I missing? Are you running backwards and getting sacked and losing? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, 23 times is way too damn much.
For a quarterback.
I mean, even when I see quarterbacks, they run 12 times. I'm like, 12?
Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot.
So,
you know, you crazy.
Whatever it takes to win, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's how they do
it. We were crapping on Texas A&M's defense last year, and it looks like things ain't changed very much. So,
nope. You had Alabama lose.
I saw that pick to end the game and was like, oof.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So who is this? Bo Wallace? That is the man right now. He is the man in Mississippi.
No, that was a
problem. He is that guy.
That crowd was going nuts.
I mean, it's one of their biggest wins since since Peyton Manning's dad was playing for them.
They haven't been 5-0 in like 30 some odd years.
A long time, you know? So
that's been good.
Definitely.
TCU upset number 4 Oklahoma,
37-33.
Like, another one bites the dust.
Man, and it just keeps going.
I know. Who else we have?
Notre
Dame beating Stanford.
Notre Dame beating Stanford. Now, granted, Notre Dame's ranked higher than Stanford. I thought Stanford was going to win, though.
Yeah, I did, too. I did, too.
And you had number 17, Wisconsin, lost to Northwestern. Random.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very random.
Down, lost 14-20. You like, damn.
And then I don't know what's going on with Les Miles, but 41-7. Auburn is spanking LSU. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know what's going on down in LSU and Baton Rouge, but
under 9 to go.
Ooh. And then right now,
serious.
Arizona State is up 18-17 on USC.
Ooh.
I'm just saying, so I don't know. And then, of course, we had the upsets of upsets this past week.
Jeez.
Marcus Mariota, man. Questions is now going to arise. What? Oregon can't never finish undefeated.
No.
Never. Every year, it's like, all right, cool. This is the year. Watch. They're going to win the rest of their games.
No.
And it's going to be like one loss on their record again for right. like the 20th year in a row. Right. So sick.
Now, granted,
and tired of you this. Know,
as long as it came in conference, Pac-12 is real.
Yeah, serious.
But damn, I mean, that was a bad. And then, you know, we got to talk about it. Was that flag okay? Should the refs have called that 15-yard sportsmanlike conduct? Now, I saw the play. I was watching it when it happened. You know what? I heard, and they had supposedly called another one on Arizona earlier in the mm-hmm. in the game. I'm like, look, once you sacked him, you can, you know, you take a little 5 yards, because if you do the little Arian Foster bow right next to the dude, they're going to flag you because you think you're doing it to them. If all you had to do was go 5 yards, do it, and leave. But the fact that you took like 10 seconds to get to the middle of the field and then you did it, it's like, well, why the fuck did you do it?
First of all, that was an idiotic mistake on his part. Dude, you sacked the guy. Get back on D. I mean,
I think it was third down. You got the big play.
Get off the field.
Yeah. And with mostly with celebrations, you have to do them joints like immediately. Quick. You can't wait.
You can't TO it.
Yeah, because if he sacked him and then was like, did one of them like 2-3 steps, like bow, all right, then people, and nothing would have happened. They'd have been like, oh shit. And then you just run off the field. Nobody cares. But you like, you can't go where nobody is around to the middle of the field where everybody can see you.
You're rubbing
and,
it in, dude.
Right. And they're
rubbing
it in. They're taught to call. Should they have called it? No. Of course not. They shouldn't have called it. But if you do something that, you know, it's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from what people have said, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody up top, you know, because, hey, I mean, you can't be like, well, the ref shouldn't have called that. Well, if that's your job, and they're like, hey, guess what? If you don't call these things, you getting demoted. You losing money. Your job status and being able to referee games is going to be affected. Guess what? I'm throwing the fucking flag out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm calling that. I'm like, this is my job on the line.
Yep.
I'm calling that, and I think that's what happened. He was like, dude, why did you put me in this position to have to call this? And they're like, you better call it.
Yep.
Fine. This dude scored a touchdown. You know, Mariota gets, you know, sacked, fumbled.
Stripped, yep. That's
it's
it.
It's like, fuck.
All she wrote.
Fuck, that was sucking, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Michigan State up on Nebraska, 17-0 at half.
Yeah.
You know, man, this is a great week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be checking it out as soon as we wrap up.
Yep.
All right, y'all. It's award time.
Yes, sir.
You know, as always, we got to start off with our Noice Award.
Noice.
All right, man. Who's your Noice Award going to?
My Noice Award's got to go to the Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
I Kojak Delta, got to show your town some love. You know, Kansas City Royals have been at the bottom of the barrel in the Central League for a long time. You know, we remember George Brett. We don't remember much else about them. The Royals just, I mean, they haven't been good. For years and years, I mean, growing up, the Royals were terrible for me. They were a bad team. But glad to see they turned things around. You know, they added James Shield as their ace to the staff. They started making, you know, little subtle changes, smart decisions here and there within their personnel. And, I mean, you see where it gets you. You turn them around. I mean, they surprised everybody. I don't really think anybody had them winning the division or even coming second in the division this year. So They really went exceeded expectations, and, you know, hopefully this is good things in their future, because, you know, you like to see teams like this get back up after a while, after they've been down for a while, but, you know, hopefully they're in it to stay for the long haul. Even though they are in my division, you know, I'd like to see teams mm-hmm. I like to see them competitive at least.
You like to see the other teams who don't get as much love mm-hmm. actually start winning and get some notoriety. So exactly. I feel that. For my Noice, I got two. First off, going to Russell Wilson, admitting that he was a bully back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like on Derek Jeter's new website where, you know, little thing he's doing now, getting mm-hmm. players to say. And I think Russell Wilson's the editor-in-chief of it. And he put out saying that he used to rub guys dirt, you know, they face in the dirt mm-hmm. and being a bully. And he wasn't always this quote-unquote golden child, nice kid. And he said, you know, because of his faith, he got turned around. So I was proud of that. I was glad to see a guy that was like, look, I was one of them people.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be that asshole.
And a lot of people probably wouldn't believe it because you're like, There's no way Russell Wilson could have been like that, but
he admitted there is. He said domestic violence is a societal issue, not just an NFL issue.
Excellent.
The guy's speaking out, and I appreciate him. You know, I appreciate him sharing his story and being basically saying, look, I was that guy, but I can change. And, you know, let's make sure, you know, this is not just everybody does it and they're always labeled as that. Mm-hmm. You can change. So I was happy about that. Got to give props to Stevie Johnson. That catch he made in that game against Philly with his toe, I was like, nigga, now that is how you make a catch inbound with your toes in. I mean, I was like, he was about to fall out and was just like, ooh, like barely, like right in the corner. I was like, that is a sick ass catch, man.
I mean, that goes to show you these. It is really hard enough just catching an NFL pass. To catch a pass in the corner of the end zone,
right.
You got to hold, you got to keep possession. You got to make sure you get both toes down. All of that in one motion, that shit is hard.
That was sick.
That is not something a lot of people can do. So, yeah, got to give props to Stevie Johnson for that.
All right, y'all. So, it's on to the what the fuck moment.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck!
All right, man. Who
I got two.
Oh, okay.
All right. So one of them is going to the New England Patriots just because I don't know what the fuck's going on with them. I'm going to split this into one. I don't know what the Patriots are doing. And then my team, the Broncos, getting rid of Matt Prater.
Yeah, that was a head scratch.
I was like, I know he's had DUI issues and substance abuse issues in the past. But, I mean, he is a kicker. But, I mean, I guess they're trying to save money. He was scheduled to make like $3 million. They trying to re-sign Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, and these guys. So, I mean, if you can get another kicker who's just as good on the cheap, you know, why not? So, I can understand it. I was just kind of baffled that they waited till now to let him go. I'm like, well, why didn't you cut him weeks ago? That was the case. But maybe, you know, they're probably like, we don't want nobody taking him.
Right.
You know, while, you know, whatever. So, I got to give one to the Patriots, one on my team, and I got to give another one to Carmelo Anthony. Because one of his statements threw me for a loop. When it came to asking them, basically, I guess, about the talent level they have on the Knicks, he said, for this season right now, we have what we have. Again, if I am a teammate, and this is what I talked about with James Harden and Dwight Howard, the lack of leadership. If I'm a teammate of Carmelo's, what the hell do you mean we have what we have? So I'm just nothing? It's again, there's better ways to say things. We just got what we got right now. It's just me and these guys, you know. I mean, clearly we know you need upgrade. We know that. We know you told Phil Jackson he needs to upgrade the roster. We know that. We know you got to wait a whole year for him to upgrade the roster. We get it. But you want to talk about you're this underrated superstar and blah, 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 blah.
Whatever, man.
Act like a superstar and act like a leader then. You don't say things like this. Well, we just got what we got right now. You know what? I'm on this team, and I feel like we have enough talent to get to the playoffs and to do some damage in the East. Point blank, yeah. Period. That's all you had to say.
Yo.
You didn't have to say, oh, we need better talent. You know, we'll make it work. Blah, 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 blah. You ain't got to say all that crap. We have what we have.
Yeah. Phil Jackson came out and said we're going to make the playoffs. You just be like, look, yes, exactly. I think we have enough talent
to get
to the playoffs.
To make some noise in the East.
Yeah. You ain't got to say, we got enough talent to win it all. You ain't got to say that. We're like, look, our goal right now is to get to the playoffs, and then from there we can do some things. All they got to do is do that. Yeah, and his little, I'm an underrated superstar. Shut up. You ain't a leader. Like they played with Jesse Jackson. You ain't a leader. You know, you don't do nothing. Just you score.
Look, man.
Dudes know you can ball. If it was straight off of talent, you'd probably be considered a top five player. You have game. You just, when it comes to on-court success as a team, you don't really have the stats to back that up.
And you, my friend, play for the New York Knickerbockers. You're not an average superstar in New York City. You're the guy.
Yeah.
And now you took the max.
Yeah.
So, underrated superstar, you ain't paid like an underrated superstar, that's for sure.
Nah.
And what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. You taking the same criticism we give to Chris Paul.
Yep.
We give it to Kevin Durant.
Give it to
Dwight Howard, James Harden, all these cats who do well ain't got a ring.
Yep.
So, you want the media and people to give you the respect and back up off you? When then? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the KG. KG got all this criticism until he went to Boston. They got him a ring. It's like, I got mine.
Yep.
Done. Paul Pierce got him a ring. Oh, I'm good. Get you a ring then. Go get deep. You a ring.
You got to go deep and you have to go deep. You've been to you've been out the first round twice. Once you made it to the conference final with Denver, yep. Which was a great team.
Yes.
You know, and then you went to New York. You made it to the second round, lost to Indiana. You know, everybody remembers what's the name? Blocking the shit out of your shot that year. That was good. You know, you got to win.
Yep.
Pull this team on your back. You know, I don't know what you're going to do for a leader because Tyson Chandler is a leader. I guess y'all felt like he wasn't, so you got rid of him. So I don't know what you're going to do about that. But, yeah, be quiet.
Yeah.
Gee. All right, my what the fuck moment, I have two as well. The quickest one is seeing Lions Tiny and Joseph Fauria sprained his ankle by chasing his 3-month puppy. He supposedly was trying to potty train the dog. Dog ran down some steps. He tried to pick it up, get quick, and on the steps sprained his ankle.
It baffles me just because I'm like, they do some random stuff that just regular people do on a day to day, and I ain't sprained no ankle. Like, what are you doing that you're spraining your ankle? Like,
your body is your check.
Questionable about that story. Yeah, I don't know.
He went on Twitter and was like, or Instagram, don't hate the dog. I mean, the dog, it was kind of cute. It was like a little husky something mix. I was like, okay dude, but you're
a football player.
If you hurt your leg, you can't play. That affects your money and your paper.
And then you can't afford your dog.
Yeah. I can go to work on some crutches.
Yeah, seriously. So can I. So.
But yeah, The other one who really gets the what the fuck moment, Kevin Martin, for saying he had no idea Kevin Love was traded until like the day before training camp started. The fuck? Dude, you was pretty much in almost every damn trade scenario. They was trying to trade your ass when they had Kevin Love.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Were they really trying to trade me? I don't know.
This nigga was like, yeah, I didn't know Kevin.
You didn't hear it on the ESPN? I didn't read it on the news?
I didn't really know. Like,
so where were you in hiding?
When your team had a press conference to introduce these new young stars, you didn't get that.
Thaddeus Young didn't text you and let you know, hey, Cat, I'm on the way.
Hey, did you know you got Andrew Wiggins? Oh, we got Andrew Wiggins and Kevin Love. We about the beast. Oh, wait, what? Oh, Kevin Love was traded for that? Oh, damn. Yeah, I didn't know about that. You didn't know?
He was in a bunker somewhere preparing for the...
Just told me like, well, I don't read... I was like, basically, you didn't watch no damn news. Don't be like, well, I didn't
read.
Right. You know, some things like,
Wait.
I don't know if you said read, but if you say...
So, you're telling me he basically had no human contact.
No.
Maybe he was abducted by aliens.
Maybe so.
Because I'm like, you had to have had no cell phone, no television, no radio, nobody around you.
No
human contact.
Just the paper down the St. Paul.
You're Kevin Martin.
Yeah.
All anybody would have said when they seen you is, dog. No Kevin Love, he gone.
Right. You ain't got your team. You ain't read nothing from your team.
None of your teammates was like, yo, Kevin just got traded. Okay. Yeah, please, Bulls, do not trade for this nigga.
Basically, it's that. Yeah.
Do not trade for this guy.
I mean, you just went to the locker room and was like,
his nameplate's gone.
Anthony Bennett. When did we get Anthony Bennett?
Andrew Wiggins. Who the fuck? Who is Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, we got Thaddeus Young?
I thought he played for Philly. Oh.
Right. That's what I was like. Okay, dude. Really?
Oh, boy.
All right. We want to thank y'all for tuning into this extended version.
Yeah, I know it got a little long, but that's all right.
The Brothers Lame Sports Happy. Man, hey, look, it's too much popping off.
Yeah, we got a lot of information we had to get into.
You can listen to us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. Leave us some reviews on there. We do love the 5-star kind. You can also check us out at the website, blackisonline.com. If you want to hit us up, please do. The Brothers Lame. @gmail.com, on Twitter, @BrothersLayman, or on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in to us. For the longtime listeners, we definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in to us and listening to us for the long haul. For the new time listeners, thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoyed yourselves. Go ahead and tell all your loved ones about us. Tell your mamas, daddies, tell your sisters, brothers, cousins, nieces, nephews. Tell your friends, families, tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. Tell your, we sat by the pumpkin patch today. We saw some horn lizards. Tell your horn lizards. Tell your tarantulas, your boa constrictors. Tell your pumpkins. It's Halloween season. Tell your zombies, Dracula. Tell the mummy man. Tell, who we got, Elvira. Tell the blob. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
Ground rules. I give you all the diamonds and money, but you can't break my heart, cause that'll just get you fired. And everybody needs a job. Work is scarce, competition is fierce. Fancy frontin' in the new leather like they don't care. What? Let's get you in the wall for that performance. Winner in the category for the best boring. Tell the tough guys he's tougher than tough times. The needles in the nerve that make the tighten up unwind. One time, blocking out the light in your eyes. You're searching for your perfect one. Broken out from getting it all. To take it however it comes. Plain day, you the specialist one. Oh me, oh my. I give you all the milk and the honey. But you can't break my heart. Cause that'll just get you fired. Sloppy work and get your pay grade bust. Work is scarce, skill working is rare. Fonzie frontin' at the job site, prippin' up their hair. Word, we tell them only staff to drink their coffee. Walking papers at the office, sleep late tomorrow morning. Tell the tough guys we toughen in tough times. The nerves don't snap when the clock touch crunch time. Just like we tougher in tough times. From bend now a win to the clock just unwind. For sure we tougher in tough times. Improved and need a lie. My tighten up don't unwind. Sunshine, lifting up the light in your eye. You're gazing at your perfect one. Broken down from never at all. So better than you could ever want. Great day, I know that you had to come. Oh me, oh my. I give you all the diamonds and money. But you can't break my heart. Cause that'll just get you fired. And you're doing such a beautiful job.